with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Beautiful evening to be hanging out on the front porch in the hills and hollers of almost level West Virginia. It is an exquisite mid-July evening coming on outside the studios here at the Horn Mansion. Beautiful. Those big, high, puffy, white cumulus clouds that rival the mountains themselves and almost look like a mirror of them are floating across the mountaintops. The temperature's warm but not unbearable. If ever there was an evening for Front Porch Friday on the Horn, this day, the 10th of July, 2009, must certainly be it. I hope you will take advantage of it. I hope we will have some wonderful conversations this evening. Because, weekend's on us. And I got to get it out of my system. I don't know about you, but I got to get it out of my system for the next couple of days. Of course, live conversation radio will, crossing our fingers, resume Sunday night with All Foxed Up at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, tomorrow's schedule includes, of course, Rick's Place with Rick Goodner, Horn Psychotherapist, as well as Rick Smith from Pennsylvania on Saturday and Sunday, and Saturday night also an encore presentation of Night Sounds with Billy Shears. I had a brief email exchange with Billy not too long back, and he tells me he's hoping to get back to producing live shows here in the very near future. He wanted me to let you know that he misses you tremendously and loved having the input that he got with a new show every week. So all of that is coming your way on the weekend schedule. And tomorrow evening, I got to get the weekend rotation cooked up. There's big changes coming in the weekend schedule as well. Not quite time, I think, to completely disclose what those are. I leave John Fox is sort of in charge of all of that, so it's operating on his schedule. But yeah, big changes are coming in the I guess it wouldn't be fair. It's not that big changes are coming. Big additions are coming to the weekend schedule here on the Horn. Now, I was going to say I have to get the weekend rotation taken care of fairly early tomorrow because I think long about 5 o'clock, we traveling Kincaids climb every mountain. No. we're heading down to Charleston for the premiere of Cold Country down at the West Virginia Cultural Center Theater. And just kind of crossing our fingers and hoping, you hope against hope that the bugs of coal will behave themselves, but you know that that's not necessarily going to happen. But we hope. But I have not seen an advance copy, but I know, knowing Mary Lynn Evans' work, that it's going to be a pretty magnificent piece, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. So that's where we're going to be tomorrow evening. We'll be back a little bit later in the evening. We'll probably be back long about, 2nd hour of Billy Shears or so. Yeah. So that's the weekend coming. And, I've come to the conclusion that if we built a time machine and ran it 50 years into the future, at this point, CNN would still be finding a way to have a Michael Jackson story on their website. Jackson took 10 Xanax a night, document says. Okay, well, that's almost news if you think that Michael Jackson's the Michael Jackson business is still news. The pharmaceutical problems would be news. But this one, how did this sneak onto the website of something that considers itself a news organization? And not only that, but third down in the latest news category, psychics see magic in Michael Jackson's life.
You've watched Edith, huh?
Yeah, really. But you know what? I'm all done with that. I'm not. It is what it is. We're not going to blather on about it or anything. No. I'm going to be even shallower. You know, it's Front Porch Friday. You know, we kick back and prop our feet up on the porch rail and maybe noodle around on the 8-string misery box or the banjo over there in the corner or pick up the guitar, whatever. Maybe just thump out a rhythm on the bottom of a old nail keg. And we can be kind of frivolous and talk about the kind of things that you talk about in the warmth and heat of a summer's evening in the Appalachians. And I'm going to be frivolous and shallow, and I'm going to jump right in the mud tonight. We talk about very desperately heady, desperately serious things that need talking about. But there's a couple of bits of wing nuttery that are floating around out there today that are just driving me nuts. Have you seen the attempt? Okay, and this is dangerous ground for me because it involves discussing videography and photography on the radio, so you'll have to do what radio does best, and radio makes you use your mind to create your own visuals. Have you seen the photographs out there and the right-wing attempts to turn Barack Obama into a perv? Yeah, they're really, really there. Apparently, you know, at one of these events surrounding the G8 summit in Italy, there was a moment in video footage when it appears by the video, if you are a right-wing nut who is watching said video frame by frame by frame by frame, it looks like the President of the United States, Barack Obama, is checking out the tush of a sweet young thing walking past him. And there has been all manner of just shock, shock. You know how it is with those men. They just do that. They can't help themselves. Yeah. Let's see. What were some? It started out, of course, in Freeperville at Free Republic. It's a Reuters photo. It was posted on Free Republic at approximately 2:45. And what it is President Obama is getting ready to take another step down a rather large stone flight of stairs. He's standing next to France's President Nicolas Sarkozy, and they both appear to be looking down at the behind of a young woman who is going up the steps while they are headed down them. And they're getting in line for a group photo. Have you noticed that they haven't caught Barack Obama in polka-dotted pajamas yet like they did George Bush? Maybe we finally got a president who will look up and say, no, hell no, no, no. There's a lot of things I can make cool, but this is not one of them. I always think of Barack Obama in conjunction with that wonderful line from the first Men in Black movie when Will Smith looks at Tommy Lee Jones and, oh, who's the other one? He says, you know what the difference is between you and me? He's standing there in that black suit with the skinny black tie. And he said, I make this look good. Yeah. But anyway, so it starts out at Freeperville. And, of course, if it's on Freeperville, Matt Drudge is going to be convinced that it's news. And therefore has to be true. So he posts this, shocked headline under the photograph, Mr. President! Yeah. But then, revises the headline to, how tacky. How unutterably tacky. He revises the headline and it becomes, Second Stimulus Package. Golly dang, that's funny. Second Stimulus Package. ABC News picked it up? I mean, come on. And that's Jake Tapper. Yeah, I think he's about 2.5 feet tall. I saw him in Washington one day. Felt like, hey, they pay you to do this? Really? And it's the same photo over and over and over again. No, it wasn't today. It was last night, yesterday. And then Fox Nation picks it up with that another stimulus. And then they show another photo of her. Girl Obama was checking out is 17? Some people say. Oh, yeah, it's just disgusting. And then there's Sean Hannity. Who said, so there I am, I'm on the radio today, and I click onto the Drudge Report, and I say, oh, Barack Obama and his Bill Clinton moment. And then Fox News political analyst Kirsten Powers says, well, they're looking at something else, like out of, it's the camera angle, it's not in the picture. And Hannity shoots back, he's looking at her backside, can we just say it? And then a lot of other cuteness. Baby got Barack. R-R-R-R-R-R. Tail to the chief. So, let's see. Yeah, these sleazy. You know, I've always asserted that it takes a dirty mind to make a dirty word. And Fox is such a revolting proof thereof. Brian Kilmeade, Gretchen Carlson, co-host Andrew Napolitano, claiming that the photo's evidence that Obama sneaked a peek at a beauty's backside. With Gretchen Carlson saying, well, that's just a natural reaction, is it not, guys? And Napolitano said, it surely is. That's why there's so many pictures of it. But this is how Fox operates. And you know what? You and I, because it turns out it's all BS. It's all fake. If you watch it in the scope of the video from which the still is pulled, it's obvious there is nothing untoward going on, and no, he's not checking out the junk in her trunk. Ooh, I just feel kind of sleazy even using that phrase. I would never make a good shock jock. I just can't let that stuff just roll out of my mouth like no big deal. It's my Southern upbringing, I think. So, there's nothing there. And Greta Van Plastic Surgery, Sustern. Said, well, it looks like it, but it isn't because I watched the video, and no. But that doesn't stop the rest of Fox. They go on, look at the purse. Where are the white women at? Briefly cruising across the TV channels last night, I noticed that AMC was screening Blazing Saddles. Excuse me while I whip this out. And the screaming. It's so funny, though. It's 2009. You would think that the words that were used in that film in the 1970s were, it wasn't okay to use. It was shocking in the 1970s that Mel Brooks would use the N-word. But it was used in such a way that he got away with it. But it's all excised now. When it runs on AMC. But anyway, that's the obvious intent. The racism at Fox News runs deeper than you can. Racism at Fox News is drowning deep. This is just silly. And the faux outrage and the faux scolding. I guess that's why they're faux news, isn't it? Is simply... Well, you'd like to think it's shocking. But after a while, we've gotten to the point where, no, not really. It's not. It's not shocking at all, the way they behave. It is to be expected. And Sean Hannity. Why, he's looking at her behind! Sadly, Rush Limbaugh is still on vacation. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have been having a conniption today as well. He's out drying out somewhere, or having sex with a little Dominican boy. We don't know, but he's just been away from the microphone all week long. God only knows where he is, and if God wants to know, that's fine, because I don't. Small aircraft, Rush. You want to fly small aircraft. They're much more enjoyable. Oh, you took the Gulfstream with you, didn't you? But that's a kind of a sleazy, snarky, gossipy place to start this evening. And you can take this anywhere you want to. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, HEADON. That's toll free. You can email to bobkincaid@gmail.com. That'll get you here, too. You know, I can't, I realize maybe there is just a little bit of shock jock in me. Here, let's get this out of the way.
Oh, my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends. But, you know, who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so big.
You get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuck. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh baby, I wanna get whipped up and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me, but that butt you got me. Ooh, rough up smooth skin. You say you wanna get my fins? Well, use me, cause you ain't that average groupie. I seen her dancing, she had with romancing. She's sweat, wet, got it going like a turbo vet. Much back, so fellas,
yeah,
fellas,
yeah.
Your girlfriend got the butt,
hell yeah.
Shake it,
shake it,
shake it, shake it,
shake
it, shake
it,
shake that healthy butt. Baby got ballet feet with the open booty. Cowboy, 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 cowboy. Baby got ballet feet with the open booty. Ballet feet with the open booty. I like them round and big, and when I'm throwing a gig, I just can't help myself. I'm acting like I. Now here's my scandal, I wanna get you home, and double up, I ain't talking about Playboy, the silicone parts are made for toys, I want them real thick and juicy, so find that juicy double, mix a lot's in trouble, begging for a piece of. white boys got to shout, baby got back.
See, I'm surprised that Fox wasn't bumping out with that in the first place. This is because that's where they were going. It's all cultural stereotypes with Fox. You know, how many times did Fox run that video of George trying to leave the Chinese, the meeting in China, via the locked closet door? How many did? Not so much. Now, how many of George's verbal gaffes did they run? If you were a steady watcher of Fox, you would have thought that he was as eloquent as Churchill. Yeah, that's the one they used, Churchill. Remember when Peggy Nooner wrote those columns about how Bush was so Churchillian? But no, we've got an African-American president, and they selectively run through video and pull a frame out to make some sort of, to play to the inherent racism inside the Fox audience. Because, you know, I don't have their demographics in front of me, but I'm willing to bet that their audience is really old and pale. You just say. But that's the kind of stuff that they're trying to conjure. But the thing is, it wasn't just Fox. It was ABC. The Mouse Network was at it, too. All that cute stuff, tail to the chief, and, no, you didn't. The Juanita writes in, and apparently she caught something else today on one of the Fox shows as well, where one of the hosts says that one of the reasons we have so much Alzheimer's in our country is because of intermarriage. And the guy goes on to say, well, the Swedes are pure-blooded, as are the Finns, since they only marry each other, but in our country we will marry anybody, including crossing over to other species. Juanita says, I don't know which Fox show it was. You know, how can you tell the difference? But he went on and on and on about it. And they do, you see. Because they can't trust that their audience has any sense for nuance whatsoever. And it's the same old shtick. I mean, this, you know, last night I mentioned the fact that where the coal fields are concerned, the coal companies have one card to play, and that is violence and fear and intimidation back. Well, it's the same thing with the right wing generally. They got one card to play where race in America is concerned, and that is be afraid. Be very, very afraid. And personally, I find it sickening. So that is the shallow opening of the program this evening. And you know, if you want to speak of it more, that's fine. But I'm going to go somewhere else. I was sitting here this morning, doing some reading around and looking for something engaging. You know, where this is concerned, and it's the right wing in general. Remember what's her name, Tammy Bruce? Calls herself the gun-toting feminist. She's got a voice made for print. She went on about this today. And, of course, she's not going to miss a chance to somehow drag Michelle Obama into it as well.
Not Michelle Obama. She chooses things that are odd, that cannot be used in a variety of scenarios. Like $500 tennis shoes. You're not going to wear those into the garden, honey. And $6,000 handbags, you're not going to carry that into the J. Crew. Well, then that picture emerged which explained, which made the $6,000 clutch.
Now, wait a minute. I want to be clear. This is from Tammy Bruce's show today. After the whole photograph thing has already been debunked, and it has been shown to be a right-wing smear. Okay? And she's still working it. She's working it. If you work something like this and you don't necessarily have full knowledge that it's a con, at the most you're guilty of not doing your homework. But if after the damn thing's been debunked and it's been debunked all over creation, you continue to run with it, that's when you cross that line and you move over to liar. And now Tammy, and here, on July the 10th, today, Tammy Bruce uses it as, like suddenly she's some sort of psychotherapist, and she's talking about the money that Michelle spends on purses and shoes. Again, with a quiet subtext of racism, because there was never a word said about the vast sums spent by Laura Bush on her wardrobe and attire.
It made a little bit more sense. Photograph emerging of Barack Obama ogling the derriere of a 16-year-old girl.
Oh, now she's 16.
While he is on effectively a stage standing next to Sarkozy.
He wasn't effectively on a stage. He was standing on a flight of stone stairs. The only thing that a flight of stone stairs and stage have in common is the fact that stone stairs and stage all begin with S-T. I'll go ahead and say that another letter that often comes after S-T is D, S-T-D, and it's apparent that Tammy Bruce is suffering from the tertiary stage of one because it's eating her mind.
Video, both of these men had no problem in front of a bank of cameras doing that. Now, I don't know the state of the relationship between the Sarkozys. They're French. The French tend to have different rules.
Jesus Christ, can you... You know what? I'm going to stop here before she makes my eardrums bleed, and I'm going to go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon, Bob.
Hey, David, what's up?
Well, I called in just for this one point. It'll take me a minute or two to get this all set up. You did a fine job of saying, no, Barack Obama was not staring at another woman's figure in a lewd, lascivious manner. You said that. But I want to get it down to the exact facts of the matter and why no one will have to say, well, Bob said it didn't happen, but I'm not sure why it didn't happen. Bob, oh, Bob listeners, Bob knows that David has a background as a photographer. So this was an event. They were about to take a photograph involving big wigs of a G8 and some young people. And some young people, including young women, were dressed to the nines. Well, you know, if you're young folks and this is the first time you've been around world leaders, maybe they're a little timid. Maybe they may misstep. Maybe they're kind of the deer in the headlights, and suddenly there's a photographer saying, Oh, no, you go up there. No, 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 that's wrong. You come down here. No, no, over to your left. No, your other left. You're going the wrong way. Come back here. No, you can't go to the bathroom. There was confusion in a had-to-be-done-in-seconds photo shoot. Now we've got to deal with timing, frame-by-frame timing. There was a young woman that was entering from the cameraman's position. That is the woman that became the one stared at. Before she ever entered the frame, there was a young woman that was a step or two up on that set of stairs, stone stairs. Probably very difficult for a young woman in heels that may not do that every day to negotiate. And this is what really pissed me off to the max. Barack Obama was doing the gentlemanly, purely Southern, mannerly thing. No, he's not Southern. Well, Southern Hawaii, I guess. He turned to his right, to the left of the frame, to offer his hand to the young woman descending these stairs. He turned his head to make sure she hit the step and found his hand so as not to go tumbling down the damn steps. And as before the woman ever entered the frame that got, quote, stared at, unquote, Barack Obama was looking that way to make sure a young woman in a tense situation didn't hurt herself. The woman that potentially was stared at, they say, and it's a big lie, walked through the frame, through his line of sight. Barack Obama's head and gaze never moved. He was staring at the young lady's hand. He was assisting. This pisses me off like crazy because it flips an act of generosity and social courtesy into wet a white women.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you can't, David, you can't overemphasize the group nature of this. And I'm sure you've taken pictures of lots of people at the same time. And there's the whole scrunch in a little bit more. No, no, this way. No, that way. And that's it was it's chaos, isn't it?
Is you have a group of people, if you go from 4 to 6, you've doubled the trouble. If you go from 6 to 8, you've tripled the trouble. It becomes exponential. It becomes a geometric progression after that. And I think in that shot, you probably have, I haven't seen the final shot, but let's say there were a dozen folks. That means you've got to have 12 people not blinking. It's a photographer's nightmare. And with world leaders and a bunch of locals there, you're going to get 40 seconds, maybe. So there's some poor guy with a camera that sweat is peeling off of him in sheets, trying to make sure. Go here. No, don't. No, your other left. No, come forward. No, you're going backward there. Come forward. And you're just hoping to God that somebody doesn't stick out their tongue, pick their nose, shut their eyes completely. Who knows? I mean, it is the world's largest crapshoot. And so all of these people are scurrying around trying to find their marks. You've done plays. How well did you guys block it out the first time you read it? Even you tripped over somebody somewhere.
Oh, sure. And she and the woman in question was, that's the way I was looking at it. It's obvious she was moving from, down left to up right.
You're talking about the woman in the maroon dress that was potentially stared at?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, if there was any validity to this argument, you wouldn't have had to, and I mean, this is how I think, if there was any validity to the argument, given the angle of movement that she took, there would be, the right wingers would be having a fit and they'd be running the whole video because it would be of a guy, okay, Barack Obama and Nicolas Sarkozy tracking, okay? They would track the young woman as she went up the steps. But instead, they have to put, and you know, I got to lay some of this at the feet of Reuters, too, David. Because
what?
I have to lay some of this at the feet of Reuters.
Reuters
pulled the still.
Usually I have so much faith in them. But no, you said one thing that defeats the right-wing argument. Their heads would have been moving. They would have been tracking. The other thing is that as you look at the video and you watch it play out Zapruder style, frame by frame by frame, Barack Obama is staring through his right hand offered to a young lady that's descending stone steps through her hand, reaching for his, down to a point where there's nothing else but stairs, and the young woman in the reddish-maroon dress walks through that line of sight. Barack's head never moves. It is such a steaming pile of lies that the minute I saw it and got to see the video, I was just infuriated because it's taking seriously an act of gentlemanly activity and flipping it over into something ugly. And welcome to the world of the right wing. Well, you wanted to get on to other topics, but I wanted to go chapter and verse and buttress your argument.
Well, I wanted to. I've got other light, because this is not earth shattering, but it is. It's a moment in the right wing mindset. And you see how this is a perfect example, David, of how these things develop. It starts with Reuters.
It started with Reuters doing something they were either not paying attention to or should have never done. But the reason I'm standing on my head over this is that it is the same formula. The ugly right applies to a photo op, the stimulus plan, health care. Anything Barack Obama does, aside from drop dead in public, is going to be have the same flawed, same formula of turn it into something ugly, applied to it, and say it often enough in enough places that 20% of America that barely can eat oatmeal in the morning, there he goes again.
Honey, I got oatmeal in my ears again.
Oh, darn. I'll get it out tomorrow before we eat.
And there's a history. Anyway. Yeah, there's a history to this, too, David. Do you remember Rush Limbaugh? And it's still, I think there are still examples out there. Flush Limbaugh made this huge production at a funeral where Bill, and this was back in the 90s, and it was the funeral of, his friend died in a plane crash in the Balkans. And at the funeral, it's all solemn, and then there's and you know how it is at funerals. There are chuckles at funerals. You know, people remembering the guy or the deceased. Yeah, I remember when he did that. God, I'm going to miss him. You know, that kind of stuff.
Damn it, Bob, if anybody's been to a funeral that they're really, really involved with at the deepest human level, you're goddamn right you're going to laugh some to get through the thing.
Yeah, so there was this footage, and I can't remember the guy. I'm ashamed of myself that I can't remember the name. But there was video, and Flush Limbaugh made this great right-wing production out of, and it caught fire all over the right wing. Well, see, this just proves what an insincere son of a bitch Bill Clinton is. Because, see, he's sitting there laughing and guffawing, and then he thinks he sees that the camera's on him, and all of a sudden he's crying. I mean, this is formulaic stuff. You're right. They do the same thing with whether it's health care or stimulus or this nasty sexual, this sexualization of an innocent situation, and they do it with everybody. They have a playbook, and this is the offensive coordinator who's still running the single wing when the spread has completely taken over college football.
Well, they take any group of facts that reveal our side for what we really are and honestly are, and the public would enjoy hearing about. They apply lies, distortion, and just fantasy, and then create an outcome of their desires and hope their idiots buy it, and just enough voters that will accept it, such that if they run enough negative campaigns, nobody will vote that they're idiots. So, welcome to Rovian world.
And by the way, I just saw your note, with regard to Juanita's earlier email about interspecies marriage, that was Brian Kilmeade, you say?
Oh, yeah. I've watched it. And even the bubble-headed bleach blonde that's on with him most of the time, I forget what she is, the cross-eyed. Anyway, I shouldn't do that. I should not make fun of her physical appearances. She was aghast. He was going, Brian G. Willikers, and he just pushed it on with species, and it's like, what? What? How'd you get there? Yeah, I think somebody put some NyQuil in his decaf.
there's no end to, and because I've got another example of it as well, and that's these Kill Meat Again, having a hissy along with Andrew Napolitano over why David Axelrod didn't kiss the Pope's ring.
Ignorant bastards, they don't even know papal protocol. If you're not a Catholic, you're allowed to respectfully decline, and it's typically worked out in advance. Oh, you're an Episcopalian? Fine, okay, no kiss. Probably not a kiss. Oh, you're a Christian Scientist? Well, I know not to offer you. Oh, Mr. Axelrod is a Jew. Well, no need to waste any time with you, partner. And these idiots didn't know it. They didn't understand. Neither one of them.
And it went, and even for the, and I'll run the audio in a little bit. There's, he went so far as to say, well, maybe he wanted the Pope to kiss his ring.
Oh, of course. See, it, you know, they take a situation they don't know about, they apply lies, fantasy, distortion, and then capitalize with a line that that one in five that we all fear, well, I want that as a bumper sticker. All right, on to some real callers before I hyperventilate and begin to chew on the phone.
Stay off the phone cord. There's a little bit of voltage in that.
Well, no, I've never bitten into one of these little handsets, but I bet there's some stuff in there that'll just, you know, turn my taste buds to something I don't want to fix.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's as beautiful there as it is here this evening, but I highly recommend something sort of caramel color and malted in nature.
Actually, this is a very dark caramel color. It comes in a number, there's a number 86 associated with it on
A
very large bottle. And, you know, I'm going to head back out and water the tomatoes because they were setting fruit so quick that the last time I was out in the yard, I could hear them squeaking. So it's a good time in the middle of Tennessee.
Well, a couple more of that old 86, and they'll probably start talking.
Well, they do that all the time. I named them.
Myrtle?
Great girls. No. They're, my tomato plants are all women, and they're all quite productive.
Fecund, shall we say. Take care, David.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, we are off to a roaring start. I can't stand... Oh, and this little observation as far as the Pope's ring is concerned... George Bush thought the Pope's ring was a whoopee whistle and tried blowing on it. Thank you, Yellow. See, that's the thing. Do you remember the photographs of George Bush sitting with John Paul II and John Paul II looking at him with this who are you look on his face? And not because John Paul II was slipping, but because... Yeah, but we've forgotten. Why didn't he kiss his ring? Kiss the ring. Kiss the ring. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Yeah, I know. Keeping it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Boy, oh boy. Man, yeah, that was a nice dive into the Republican projection cesspool, huh?
Yeah, I've got Agnes firing up the delousing station now.
No, thank goodness. Thank goodness for delousing. So I woke up today, it was just a glorious, glorious, just another gem from Dennis Kucinich. Did you happen to catch that?
Yes, I did. And it's a beautiful thing where he, eats a right winger alive.
Oh man, it was just, did you see the people laughing in the back? I watched it about 10 times. Just to catch everyone. I mean, the guy sitting behind Kucinich he had to put a frown on because, you know, he was about to smile. There was a guy sitting behind that doctor with, covering his face and putting his head between his legs. I mean, that's the outrage that my mother will reflect when she talks about the Canadian healthcare system. You know, and this is one of those things where, you know, they have this audacity to pretend like, you know, oh my God, you know, Canadians have to wait, or Canadians come down here to America. It's like, yeah, they come down here to America to get breast augmentation or to get a facelift or to get some sort of thing if they're extraordinarily wealthy. You know, When my mom, one day I'd love my mother to tell you, my mom's an RN, my wife's a nurse, and so I'm well steeped in medical family practice, and all the people in my family that got into medicine didn't get into it to get a BMW or a Mercedes and a timeshare in the Caymans or anything like that. You know, they got in there to help people and to make people's lives better because, that's something that they, that they just had in them to be a nurturer. You know, they didn't, I burned my G.I. Joe. Well, I didn't burn them all, but I burned a few G.I. Joes here and there just for war wounds. But, they would be the ones.
Oh, I reenacted Pearl Harbor with model battleships in a swimming pool. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And bottle rockets. There were bottle rockets.
Exactly, yeah. And then M80s when fireworks were really good. Now they're just nonsense. Oh, fireworks are horrible now, aren't they? I have another gripe, and this is something that this is just way out of left field. But I'm going to have to grow a big beard. I really, really am, and I don't want to because I overheat. Being in Wisconsin, with negative 40 degree temperatures during the winter, your blood gets really thick. So the minute it hits 72, I'm sweating bullets. So a beard to me is just, it's just so scary. I think I'd rather be I'd rather be in a plane crash on some mountain somewhere and forced to either eat my hand or some deceased person's.
Yeah, if you were stranded on the proverbial desert island, you would dive until you got the oyster shell, and it wouldn't be for the oyster, it would be to scrape your beard off your face.
Yeah, because it just gets itchy. But I gotta know, why are these razor blades so freaking expensive? They want five razor blades. It's like $20.
Yeah. Well, but it's five. Mm-hmm. It's five cartridges, and that's actually 25 razor blades.
True. Yeah,
but that was what led to my short-lived straight razor crusade. I still do it once in a while, and it's a pleasant experience. But you wind up sinking a bunch of money into that stuff, and you go looking, and you go, God Almighty, they want how much for one of these? And then there's the strop and the honing and the yada yada yada. And
Seriously, and I know that's just out of left. I just got back from the store, and I was going to purchase some razor blades, because the one that I'm trying to milk, this is poor people talk here. But I'm really kicking myself in the ass for buying one of the Mach 3s. My wife, she went crazy, and she got the freaking
Venus
Quattro Sictro, whatever the heck that is. I don't even want to look at how much those ones cost. It's just unbelievable. There's no. I remember back in the day, they'd be $7 for five of them or whatever. And now it's unbelievable. So we must be running out of titanium or maybe aloe vera strips or something. Something's getting real rare in that.
The world supply of aloe vera strips is in crisis. but I don't know
what
I don't know what those things are. Well, the truth be known, I was in one of the chain drugstores the other day, and there is a brand that there's maybe Persona or something like that, a lesser brand than Gillette that does the five blade gig, and it's a third of the price. Because remember, whether it's razor blades or automobiles or. And this is actually quite trenchant, given the times, or medications.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you are operating in a capitalist-driven, for-profit system, you're paying for the advertising. I guess advertising's designed to draw you to a product, but the nature of the system is such that you wind up paying for their efforts to woo you to purchase their crap.
Absolutely. Well, exactly.
And here's the fun. Here's another fun part of the dodge. They get to write it off and pass it off to you at the same time.
Yeah, and then they cry about it when you want them to pay their fair share of tax without having a Cayman Island. How many central offices of U.S. corporations are based out of the Cayman Islands? Like
a lot.
Yeah, it's. I know it's razor blades, and I know it's the small aspect of it, but it does, these are things that impact you and I. just as generic drugs are the same, you know, the very same thing, you know. Yeah, all right, sure. They go into all this research and development and blah, 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 and buying off FDA guys and sending them to cruises and golf resorts and all this other stuff. Sure, that costs money, and, you know, all right, they get their patent for so long, and then, you know, and then it has to go to the generic line. You know, I sit there, and my wife, she had a UTI, and she wound up having to get on, you know, and I went with her, of course. I you know, even though she's a medical professional, I tend to like to go with her just to hear what they try to say.
No, you all, you know, you don't go swimming without a buddy. You don't climb ladders without a buddy. You don't go diving without a buddy or parachuting, you know, skydiving without a buddy. And you don't, above all, go to the doctor without a buddy.
Exactly.
Because you gotta process the information.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And you have to, you know, and sometimes, you know, anyway, long story short, they went and prescribed Cipro to her. And I, you know, instantly I was like, oh, wasn't that what George Bush was taking for 30 days?
Oh, you just can't do, you can't stay away from that, can you? You're a troublemaker. You know that, Albert?
I can't help it. I mean, that's, you know, and I think even the lady, she's like, oh, yeah, I think it is. You know, so I'm like, oh, this is, that's good, babe. You can get anthrax and you'll be okay. But anyhow, and so I was cringing because I was like, this is Cipro, you know. This is going to be super, super, super expensive. So I'm like, well, there goes us having meat this month. But long story short, it wound up being $6 for the generic. And I was like, $6 for the generic. That's not so bad. That's not so bad at all. But, you know, if you go and you look, and the pharmacist kind of said, yeah, it's like the brand name is, I don't know, what did he say, $380 or something just unbelievably absurd like that. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to sit there and tell anybody they can't make a buck, but I don't want anybody to sit there thinking that they can loot and pillage, you know, people's life saving. I mean, if we would have had to have Cipro, and that's what we would have had, we wouldn't have had meat that month. We would have been lucky to have pasta or rice. You know, I mean, when we're sitting there looking at our monthly budgets, and all of a sudden you get sick, and we have insurance. We have it, and we pay another, you know, almost $400 a month for this insurance. And if those pills would have cost that much money, I don't know what we would have done. We would have had to, heck, I probably wouldn't be on the phone with you because we probably would have had to not pay the internet bill for that month because it would have been something of, you know.
Yeah, you'd have been standing on the back porch screaming.
Yeah, I would have had to get in the Navigator, you know, that the right wing seems to think we have the technology for, and I would have had to come over and talk to you directly.
Fold a little space, you know.
Yeah, no problem there. None whatsoever. You know, but that's just, you know, and I don't understand, you know. And then any time we sit there and collectively as a culture, we come together, as we have in this country, you know, and any time we want to sit here and reap some benefits of coming together as a society, you know, such as, you know, single-payer health care or anything like that, you know, they pull these weasels out of the woodwork to come out here and try to tell us, oh, well, we don't want the Canadian health care system because, you know, you'll be sitting in line 6 months for this or that. It's like, are you kidding me? There are people in this country, and we've talked about it 100 times already, there are people in this country that have medical, that have health insurance that don't go and wind up dying. Because they know that they can't afford whatever it is that they feel that bad news is going to be. Like that lady, like just recently, it was brought to light about the Venezuelan doctor or the Cuban doctors, but she was in Venezuela, and her friend, they both had pneumonia. One was in Venezuela, one was in the United States. Yeah, sure, she had health care. The other one went down there, went boom, 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 boom. She got her drugs, she got the x-rays, zip, 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 no bill, she's out the door. 3 days later, she feels better, that her friend dies. Because she didn't want to go through the rigmarole. And, you know, this is one of these things that, you know, we got 50 million people in this country with no health insurance. We got another whomever else, you know, who have insurance who really can't even afford to use it. And these people have the audacity to try to come out here and try to say, oh, we have the best in the world, so on and so on and so forth. And it's, yeah, it's the best in the world if you can afford it. Which is, I guess, like saying you're a millionaire just because your house is worth $1 million.
Right. So sell the house to get the MRI.
Yeah, exactly. Sell the house, get the MRI, and get your Cipro, and you know you'll be good to go. I don't know. I don't understand how these guys think that they're running a system. The blood drips off their chin. I don't know. I've never eaten human flesh, but I think I can recognize those who do. And they got a certain look in their eyes, and they got a certain gleam off their teeth. And I don't think it's the Crest whitening strips that give it that. They have no problems, you know, filling graves with prophets, you know, and then digging up those graves to fill in more prophets. You know, I just, you know, and I hope these people in this country, and I think we are, I think in the, you know, on the whole we are, but we really better wise up to that fact. We better wise up to that fact that these people are, you know, they're not good doctors. They don't care about us. You know, how many times even in the past decade have we heard, you know, like where you try to ask doctor a question and they don't even have time to barely answer you. You know, and then they try to sit there and project their sick sexual perversions on, you know, some sort of still. They always do this stuff. That's how depraved they are of any, you know, valid anything, facts or anything. They got to create, you know, Obama's, you know, looking at the white women, you know, and don't forget that's what got marijuana illegal, and we see how well that panned out, huh? We see how well that drug war is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It is. I mean, seriously.
Well, you've lit a little fire under me, Albert. I'm going to, here after the top of the hour break that I've promised John that I will start taking.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've done pretty good this week. I'm going to run two things. I'm going to run the Dennis Kucinich smackdown of Dr. David Gratzer, okay, that you're talking about, because it's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious moment in seeing what real representation looks like. Then I've got brand new audio here just in from the folks over at Think Progress of a sort of right-wing response, if you will. And I think it's going to be quite telling in the long run. So I'm glad you reminded me of the Kucinich stuff, because I've been meaning to run it, and yeah, it's kind of got to happen.
It does. Well, you know, Kucinich gives us hope, and I mean, I would have loved to have been able to vote for him as president, but then again, we do need him where he is, and I hope he's there for her. We need him, you know. We need him. We need to hear more of him, but you know, we need to get rid of some. He needs to be Speaker of the House or whatever, you know, one of those. They need to start giving this man some podium time, because
that's the thing, Albert. I think it's very deliberate that they don't.
Why?
Because I don't think that Nancy Pelosi is quite certain that she could manage him. And you only get those committee chairs once you look at the Speaker and say, "Listen, I'll play ball. I'll be nice."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joel Lieberman. But this—that's the one thing I just got to say—is he's always him, Bernie Sanders. For the most part, sometimes I can give it to—I'll even say Barney Frank, and there's a few others out there that, you know, whose names just don't fly off the tip of my tongue. But you know, without a doubt, Dennis Kucinich and Bernie Sanders—they're always, always, always on our side. Always, they without fail, they're on our don't forget Feingold, who usually is on our side. You know, they're on our side when it comes to, you know, mountaintop removal. They're on our side when it comes to health care. They're on our side when it comes to the drug war and the insurance and all this stuff. So, and I'm going to let you go. I want you to have a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to hearing the right wing.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Yeah. You have a great weekend, too, Albert. Take care.
All right, take care, brother.
All right, bye now. Okay, so that's what we're going to do when we come back. But right now we are going to take a little break just to keep things on an even keel, as it were. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. It's Front Porch Friday. Pull up a chair. This is The Horn.
She had fever all day and chills at night. Now things got worse, yes, a serious mind. In times like this, it takes a man to start like you not often find. A doctor of the heart and a doctor of the mind. If you like a country with a boogie beat, he's a man to me. And if you like the sound of shuffling feet, he can't be beat. If you wanna feel real nice, I'll surrender a doctor's advice. Well, it's up to country town, but patients come from Mobile to Marine for miles around. Now just don't you sing your leaves, beat a vocal on a limousine. And beat the doctor's sound, well, he's got his very own thing, yeah.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Indeed it is, and just as promised, a little comparison and contrast. I hated those essay questions when I was a kid. Compare and contrast. Yeah. But sometimes they set themselves up, and they sort of present themselves to roll at your feet. So we will do the comparison and contrast thing. We will start with hearing audio from Congress and questioning as put forward by Dennis Kucinich, Democrat, Ohio. He was questioning a guy by the name of Dr. David Gratzer. Dr. David Gratzer doesn't do much doctoring anymore. He is with the Manhattan Institute, whose sole purpose in life appears to be keeping people from getting adequate health care. But he wanted to show up in Congress to explain to all of us idiots how terrible, terrible, terrible the Canadian health care system is. As Albert noted, this is joy. You could just put this on a loop and sit back and open a cold one and enjoy the hell out of it for 10 or 15 viewings. This is beautiful. Dr. David Gratzer.
50 million Americans can't get any health care at all. Now, Dr. Gratzer, you've tried to make the case for rationing in Canada worse than it is in the U.S. Do you know what Statistics Canada, the analog to the U.S. Census, says the median wait time is across Canada for elective surgery?
Why don't you inform us, sir?
It's 4 weeks. And what does Statistics Canada say the median wait time for diagnostic imaging like MRIs?
What a supercilious ass. Why don't you inform us, sir?
You dick!
Yeah, he earned that one. So, just because I couldn't resist interrupting, we'll go back.
West Census says the median wait time is across Canada for elective surgery.
Why don't you inform us, sir?
It's 4 weeks. And what does Statistics Canada say the median wait time for diagnostic imaging like MRIs is?
I can tell you the Ontario government recently looked at that for...
It's 3 weeks.
The answer was 6 months.
It's 3 weeks. How many uninsured are there in Canada?
Probably relatively few.
That's right. None or very few. How many medical bankruptcies are there in Canada?
It depends how you define a medical bankruptcy.
None or very few. How many insured Americans go without needed care due to high cost of health care, which is due to health insurance companies?
Oh, am I allowed to answer, or are we just going to continue to...
Well, if you have an answer, you can answer. But if you don't, I'll answer. What's your answer?
Go for it, sir.
Contempt of Congress. Go for it, sir. Oh, Dennis, you have such zen-like control of what must be an urge to come across that table and just rat-smack that smug little prick. But...
What's your answer?
Why don't you answer your question, sir?
What's your answer?
My answer?
How many insured Americans go without needed care due to the high cost of health care, which is due to health insurance companies? The witness isn't responding.
The witness is delighted to speak further on those statistics and other statistics, but you keep cutting me off, sir.
You respond if you have an answer. You didn't give an answer to the other one.
I'm not going to be led down a garden path. If you'd like to ask me a question, I'd be delighted.
You know, you've showed a garden hare to members of this committee and to the audience. There's another side of the picture you don't seem to be aware of, even though you want to be an expert on Canada.
Sir,
can you provide us with an answer on this one about America?
But my position is respectable, and I dislike your comments, sir.
Do you have an answer? How many insured Americans... insured, go without needed care due to high cost of health care, which is due to health insurance companies? He has no answer. Well, what the answer is it's one out of every four.
Yeah, you kind of wish that lightning bolt would have taken out that. And he was. He was a smug little ass. The contempt that the for-profit healthcare industry displays for those of us who simply want Americans to be able to deal with illnesses, sometimes very serious illnesses, without having the rest of the family utterly destroyed by the for-profit healthcare system is stunning. How do you not punch that bastard in the face? Dennis Kucinich. See, there's a difference between Dr. David Gratzer, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, and Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich, you see, knows what it feels like to be part of the America that carries the Dr. David Gratzers on their backs. Dennis Kucinich has lived in cars. Dennis Kucinich grew up in a real family. And our condolences go out to Congressman Kucinich and his extended family for the loss of their dear brother in the recent past. The witness is not responding. See, what he didn't want, and that's the way it is with right-wingers. What Dennis was doing was cross-examining the little punk. And he didn't, I'll not be led down a garden path. By God, you're here, you're testifying, and you'll answer my questions or we'll get out the waterboard. See, that's because, you know, I'm mean that way. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Can you imagine if Dennis Kucinich were in a position of significant power within, and that's not to say that he doesn't have significant power within his subcommittee, but if he was running the committee, and by the way, over Dr. Gratzer's shoulder sat John Conyers watching this all go down. And if Dennis Kucinich had a committee chairmanship similar to that of John Conyers, I think you'd see some hell busting loose inside the House of Representatives. But again, comparison and contrast, right? That's what we were going to do. We move now to the floor of the House of Representatives today. Speaking will be Representative Paul Brown. B-R-O-U-N, maybe he's Paul Brown. I'm not sure what. It would be Brown anywhere else, but in Georgia it's probably Brown. He's a Repiglican from Georgia. And he took the floor, Georgia's 10th district, Evans, Athens, and Toccoa, Georgia. Not Atlanta. In other words, Wingnutville. He took the floor, well, not necessarily Athens. I mean, Athens has the University of Georgia in it, and there's a decent liberal community there, and I've heard they play some decent music there from time to time. But a lot of wing nuttery in the Georgia 10th. Congressman Brown, Repiglican, took to the floor playing the only card that the right wing has to explain why we must never, never, ever, ever, ever have a public option or some form of single-payer health care in this country. Strap in.
But that's exactly what's going on in Canada and Great Britain today. They don't have the appreciation of life as we do in our society, evidently.
Huh? Haven't we been through this before? Don't I remember General William Westmoreland giving a press conference in Vietnam saying, well, you know, these Vietnamese, they don't appreciate, they don't, life don't mean the same thing that it does to us. But did you remember that? I was a little young, but those of you who are a little bit older, that happened, didn't it? That, I think it did.
And, Dr. O, a lot of people are going to die. This program of government option, this being touted as being this panacea, the savior of allowing people to have quality health care at an affordable price, is going to kill people.
It's going to kill people. Being able to go to the doctor is going to kill people. Do you have a full functioning appreciation for the America that this right-wing fascist bastard just described? The direct quote, "This program of government option is being touted as being the panacea, the savior of allowing people to have quality health care at an affordable price, is gonna kill people." In other words, affordability is mortal. Affordability is poison. The only people who should have health care that is life-saving in this country, according to Representative Paul Brown, are the people who have the vast millions to afford what happens to them after they've gotten sick and their for-profit health care coverage has reduced them and their bank accounts. That's eye-bugging. So on the one hand, you have Dennis Kucinich laying it out there that one in four Americans are beggared by the for-profit healthcare system, while that number is zero in Canada. And then this right-wing bastard gets on the floor of the House of Representatives and declares that people are dropping like flies in Canada and England because they have a single-payer healthcare system. Don't tell Congressman Brune, but Canada and the United Kingdom both have a lower infant mortality rate, and they have longer overall life expectancy than we do here in the United States, where we are at the tender mercies of the for-profit healthcare system. That's okay, though, isn't it? That's okay. Because the right wing doesn't give a damn about the well-being of America, never has, never will. The right wing cares about maximizing corporate profits, even to the extent that those corporate profits are bathed in human blood. I find myself going back to that assertion, that idea that was posited the other night, that we have an IQ test before anyone is allowed to run for Congress. How did that jackass get into office? Well, we know the answer. He probably ran on God, guns, and gays. I'm going to go to the Congress, and I'm going to make sure that we respect God. The only problem is, when a right-winger says God, he means corporate America, and the rubes don't know it. They don't have the appreciation of life as we do in our society. Really. You son of a bitch. Self-made. I don't have it at hand, but I'll bet this freak has voted for more war and more munitions and more money and more bloodshed and more death every time the opportunity has come up where Iraq and Afghanistan and all the other little military adventures in which our country is involved are concerned. Going to kill people. Kill them, I tell you. He's going to kill them. Jesus. That's really, really hard to stomach. How do you fend that off? How do you fight it back? Well, obviously, Dennis Kucinich knows how. Wouldn't you love to see Dennis Kucinich in a debate with Dr. Paul Bruhn or Representative Paul? Is he one of those doctor and repiglickens in the Congress? I don't know. I don't know why I called him doctor. Representative Congressman Paul Bruhn. And it's all part of the peace. I was reminded of this in the chat room, and this fits right in. Jane Hampshire. Yesterday afternoon, went on MSNBC for a little debate with a woman by the name of Jillian Bandez from Town Hall. Jane Hampshire is, of course, the heart and soul of Fire Dog Lake, that well-known blog. I know you guys read it because you send me links from it. And they were talking, of course, about what we're talking about, and that is fixing a broken healthcare system. And Jillian Bandez displays, and I'm not sure if it's ignorance or if it is just willful evil. You can never really tell with a right-wing type. But what you do know for sure is that no matter what they say, the bottom line is the bottom line. And protecting corporate profits bathed in the agony of the human condition is job one right now in the Republican Party.
Even though your side is getting outspent 3-1, Jillian, here's the breakdown. $31 million total for 47,000 ads through the end of June, and this is, again, strictly on the health care debate. $15 million on pro-reform ads, $4 million on anti-reform ads, $12 million on ads for better care. So actually, I had my numbers wrong there. But consider this. The total amount spent on the Harry Louise ads back in 1993, $14 million. What do you make of the numbers? What do you make of the amount of money that is flowing through this argument?
Well, David, you made my point for me. I mean, it is like a David and Goliath situation out there. On one hand, you have conservatives who are concerned with patients' rights. I mean, you have groups like Patients First and Conservatives United for Patients' Rights talking about different things like rationing and cost and wait times and bureaucratic regulation of healthcare. On the other side, you have, and I mean entirely, you have Big Pharma. And they're the only people sponsoring these sorts of politically directed ads directed towards different legislators who are going up for re-election and who are, you know, key votes in this upcoming healthcare legislation. And that just goes to show what sort of grassroots support is against the plan and what sort of big industry, you know, public support is for it. I think that the where the ads are coming from and also the money indicates that really public support is swaying against the health plan despite the best efforts of congressional Democrats.
Jane, if there was one argument that you think voters need to take away from all these ads that you're running, what would it be?
I think that entire tone is that's crap. 76% of the American public want a public plan. And as a 16-year cancer survivor myself, I really find it offensive that people try and drag others into this and say that somehow our system that we have right now represents the 50 million people who are uninsured or that it does superior for people like me, who have had to be at the mercy of bureaucrats.
I'm sorry, I'm not a cancer survivor, but that doesn't mean I can't criticize. the public
plan.
Well,
yeah,
plan.
I suppose you are, but you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, really?
So you're aware of the way Times of Canada for life-saving treatment.
What people,
let's take these one at a time, Jillian, one at a time. Let's take these one at a time. Jillian, what about the argument that your position does not represent, what about the 50 million who don't have health care? Who's representing their argument in this case?
David, that's a totally false figure. The 50 million uninsured, it consists of illegal immigrants and people who are already eligible for federal health care plans.
46 million.
Jesus Christ. That's where they are now. You know how some people argue in favor of Israel by saying there's no such thing as a Palestinian? This is that. There's no such thing. There aren't 50 million uninsured people. Those are illegal aliens!
Over 40 million.
Great, okay, then you've got another 10 to 12 million who are already eligible for public plans, but don't take advantage of it. You have another, I think it's 10 million people who could be otherwise eligible for the plans that Obama's are considering, but wouldn't want to do it anyway. I mean, when you break it down, I think it was somewhere between 10 and 20 million who are actually uninsured and can't get insurance.
Okay, so it's 10 and 20. You know, I used to use this argument with right-wingers over the Iraq War. I'd say, well, you know, we've killed a million civilians. We have not! Maybe we've killed 500,000. No. What if we've only killed 100,000 civilians? Is that okay? Is it okay to have killed 50,000 civilians? Is that okay? How about killing 10,000 civilians who didn't have a dog in this hunt? Is that okay? You pick somebody out. The right wing, it was somebody that we hanged at Nuremberg who said that, or else it was Stalin, it would have been convenient to hang at Nuremberg, said having two people die is a tragedy. Having 2 million die, or 20,000, I forget the exact quote, is a statistic. And that is where the right wing finds itself now as it attempts to defend this back-breaking, profit-driven healthcare industry that is slowly but surely eating us alive. It's not 50 million. There aren't 50 million. Okay, there's 40. Nah, there's not 40. Maybe at tops, there's 10 or 20 million people who can't get health insurance. Can you hear the screw them in her voice? Can you hear it? I'm sorry, I'm not a cancer survivor. God, I hope you never are, lady. She knew not what she said. But bless her heart, Jane Hampshire is this tiny, tiny, elegant woman. And apparently she's got some serious mean in her.
The 50 million figure is totally false.
Jane, you get the last word.
The people in this country who have to go and face bureaucrats who will not pay their bills and have to face financial ruin in order to get themselves treated is criminal. Basic health care access should be a basic human right in America. We spent $2 trillion on the banks last year.
Should
food
be a basic human right?
And now we're talking about the fact that we cannot... Do you have any pride whatsoever? Do you have any shame when you go out there and you say this stuff and when you interrupt people when they're trying to talk about their own personal experience?
Well, you're trying to accuse me of not knowing what I'm talking about.
Jane Hampshire and Jillian Bandus, thank you both.
At long last, ma'am, have you no shame? Did you catch that last one, though? That last little gem? Well, should food be a human right, huh? Well, honey, Jillian, can we talk for a minute? I guess over at Town Hall, wait a minute, you're a right winger, you hate the United Nations, you're running around with one of those, get us out of the UN bumper stickers, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Because see, back when the United Nations was formed in 1948, and you know, your grandparents were just young John Birchers. They enacted this thing called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And there's this little phrase inside the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that says, and I quote, "Everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and his family, including food." So yes, Jillian Bandis, food is a human right. So is clean air. So is potable water. So is unpoisoned soil. And I wish it was a human right not to have to tolerate the ignorant prattling of the likes of you.
Should food be a basic human right?
Are there no more workhouses? Do these morons understand that they have reduced themselves to even a caricature of what they are? Do they realize that they have time traveled to the era in Merry Oldie England that Charles Dickens was lampooning with a character like Ebenezer Scrooge? Or more, please? More food? Huh? You know, once upon a time, it was part of our recognition, although it also had a commercial element, it was part of our recognition of that language in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that led the United States to send sack after sack after sack after pallet after container shed, tons upon tons of food around the world back when we had the ability to produce more food than we ate. You know, that's before we plowed the farms under and built McMansions on them. But we did it. We sent that food around the globe because of an innate recognition that there is something evil about countenancing starvation. And the right wing has gone so far as to absolutely cast aside any last shred of humanity that it may have and simply declaring 5 million, 10 million, I'm told it was Stalin, by the way, the statistics line, 15, 20 million, 50 million, declaring millions of their fellow Americans to be nothing but ciphers. Well, they're all illegal aliens. Well, I guess that means they're not human beings then, doesn't it? There is a level of moral depravity to which one must succumb before one may become a right-wing nut that is scarcely fathomable to you and I. But with people of a certain mindset, it is apparently not the least bit difficult to accomplish. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Cassie.
Hey, Cassie.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty good. We studied, when you were doing that audio that you just did.
Uh-huh.
We studied the UN Human Rights Declaration in 10th grade.
Wonderful. That's actually encouraging.
Yeah. It was, we had to learn sort of like what were the basic rights and then how did they adopt them, and is it being enforced and kept to by different nations now? So, anyway, but that's not why I called.
Okay.
And I didn't call about healthcare. I called to go back a few topics.
Okay. I can conversate on the fly, Cassie, so, yeah.
Okay. So, to the topic about Obama and the teenager in Italy or France. Where was it?
Mm-hmm. Italy.
Italy. So, my question is, all of the people who are all of the people that are complaining about Obama and him looking at the girl, which I don't think he did, but how many of them look at 17-year-olds every time they get a chance?
Well, there you go. And that's, you know, that's somewhere that I hadn't even reached with it yet. To wit, the right wing is having a hissy about what they perceive to be a glance at a woman's backside, which wasn't even in the to begin with. There's an old saying around here, and I imagine you hear it in Texas too. Well, I think George Bush said that once. That someone can swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat. You ever heard that?
Right.
This is that.
I haven't, but I know what it. I mean, I can guess that it's that they don't comment about Sanford or Ensign or.
Right, and yeah, right. The stuff about Ensign
or anything.
Right, and they were actually out there having sex with people they weren't married to.
Right, and not just looking at the stairs or looking at somebody who fell on the stairs or almost fell on the stairs.
Yeah, and the stuff about Ensign just won't go away. It keeps bubbling back up. Now we know that Mommy and
his
Daddy are clean.
His parents sent his the money. His parents gave the money.
Yeah, no, what, $96,000? I mean, this is positively medievally the
like, but $96,000 to a lot of Republicans isn't anything.
It's chump change.
I mean,
but I mean, it's
a lobbyist before they eat breakfast.
I'm sorry, I'm going to come off the wrong way by saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
what Anson's parents did was so medieval. As to make the first time I read the story about the payoff, I thought, you know, there's $96,000. Were there no sheep, no goats, no horses, no camels, no cattle? Because it's classic right wing behavior, Cassie, because there is an equation between the money and the woman. The $96,000 was a dollar value placed on the human worth of the woman that the ensign's son had been having an affair with.
I think that you're looking at the wrong comparison. I mean, not that that one's not right, but I really think it's more like, are they paying for her services? Could they get in trouble for hiring a prostitute or hiring, like, are they paying for sex or are they paying for hush?
Oh, they're paying for hush. But they're paying for hush about sex, so, you know, if you follow that logically to its conclusion, they're paying for sex.
Right. Well, that's what I thought.
But it had such a transactional feel to it.
How much money do senators have? I mean, like, why did his parents have to pay? Was that just so his wife wouldn't find out?
You know, the reasoning behind it is behind everything in that affair is all wrapped up in a bunch of shadowy, bizarre, Cassie, right-wing, evangelical religion industry stuff. Because John Ensign belongs to, and there's a clip, if you go over to MSNBC.com and look for Rachel Maddow, she interviews a guy who wrote a book called The Family. And John Ensign is a member of this shadowy, it's kind of like an evangelical Protestant fundamentalist Opus Dei, because I know you know who Opus Dei are.
Isn't family like the most powerful religious group like Washington?
Yes, yeah, and they own a brick town home that used to be a convent that is now registered as a religious institution that they simply call C Street. And a bunch of right-wing men live together there who are in Congress.
Okay, how many of them are in their own room?
Well, and see, there's, you know, that's just another, yeah, you get it. I mean, I saw a picture of it, it's a red brick structure on, obviously, C Street in Washington, D.C., and it just looked like one big closet to me.
I bet you're right. I think that they are so obsessed with other people's sex that the more they think of Democrats' sex, the more that they do weird sex stuff themselves.
It's a function of repressive conduct, don't you think? You know, the more you repress even the most basic human sexuality, the weirder it's going to get.
And I have to say that most men at 17-year-olds when they were like, they just do.
Really? I mean, yeah. There was a story. Where did I see it that described this sort of condition inside the Congress where one anonymous staffer described just a bunch of needful old leches who, you know, wander around staring at young women? Because, you know, after all, it is true. Washington, D.C. is run by 20-somethings, men and women. They actually get the work done, and it was a pathetic sort of a story. But I don't know if everybody does it, that means I do it, and that means, oh, that's gross too.
Well, first of all, it's not like any women walk around with a sign that says I'm 18 or I'm not 18.
Right.
So there's that, but. Not all men. It's certainly there are.
It's part of the. It's part of the. It's
you
part.
You walk down the street in a tight shirt, or it's short shorts. Men at you. I mean, that's why people do it at the time.
And I guess it's all wrapped up. It's wrapped up in our primal sexual nature, I suppose.
But even if dressing that way because you want 17 and 18-year-olds to look at you, there's no way to not have, you know, 25 or 30-year-old look at you too.
Yeah, there's no the force field or something like that, and of course I gotta bring back around to the fore, the fact of the matter, Cassie, that he wasn't looking at her,
right?
He wasn't checking her out. You know, that's just something that the right wing made up out in their sick, sad, twisted little sexually deviated minds.
And do they get the irony of how many of their own are in all of these sex scandals that involve, you know, crying on television and all, like, all the craziness?
The short answer to your question, Cassie, is no, they do not get the irony of it because they are deeply instilled and immersed inside cult behavior that tells them it's okay for them to do it because God likes them better.
And because they're white and they're doing it with white men.
That too, I guess. But no, they don't see any conflict. They don't see any irony. They don't see anything in it, Cassie, that says that, oh, look, we're hypocrites. Because they have a magic Jesus that tells them they're not.
But okay, doesn't the magic Jesus have a bite that says you shouldn't be with someone's wife?
Doesn't matter. They don't do
cognitive dissonance. Okay, we talked about that on the show a couple of nights ago, and our buddy Fancy sent in a definition of cognitive dissonance. They don't have the cognitive dissonance isn't happening for these people because they are so high up on the food chain. You've really got to understand, and I'm not saying that you don't. You've really got to have an out of body experience with the concept of election. Not like going to the polls and electing a president. No, the concept of election. And it's a concept that was promulgated among others, John Calvin. And it says God likes you better. And God will put up with more crap from you because he likes you better. And it's all tied in with the concept of predestination as well. And it says that God likes you better, and God predestined you. For instance, he predestined Larry Craig to have the wide stance in the bathroom stall. He predestined John Ensign to get it on with that woman. He predestined Mark Sanford to fly to Argentina. And therefore, he tacitly approves of it and forgives it.
But, okay, I did not understand predestination when we studied it in school, and I still don't understand it.
Well, that's it. Predestination takes free will completely out of the equation.
And responsibility out of it.
And responsibility.
That's what they want.
Yeah,
isn't that how you're supposed to think when you're little, but not how adults are supposed to think?
Oh, you mean like what St. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became an adult, I put away childish things?
Right. I mean, it's, because, like, if you're around little kids, you have grandchildren.
Yes.
Right? So, little kids don't take responsibility. Little kids pretend that they didn't do whatever they did. But when we grow up, part of being more of an adult is that we're supposed to take responsibility. Like, even when you sign the papers for your driver's license, you're signing that you're going to take responsibility for what you do when you drive a car.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't say, oh, I'll just drive any old way because I'm predestined to hit that passenger and not hit the other passenger and push my car in a tree and not push my car. Like, when we sign the very first thing that we sign as an adult, we're taking responsibility. We're saying that when we do something, we're responsible for the consequence.
That's true, but I would argue, Cassie, that responsibility is the back end of the adulthood equation. The front end is that before we wind up in a position where we have to take responsibility, we, acting as adults, try to do things right,
Well, that's part of responsibility. It's not. I don't just mean like taking blame. I mean taking responsibility. Like, if I babysit, I'm saying I'm going to be responsible to make sure that the kids that I babysit for don't get burned up in a fire or get, you know, cause trouble or whatever. Like, I'm taking that responsibility before, by agreeing to babysit.
Yeah. And there are all kinds of different manifestations of it. There's a Latin phrase called in loco parentis. And for instance, a school or a school system says that when adult parents send their children off to school, that the school stands in loco parentis during the time the kids are at school. In other words, in the place of the parents, because I know you've had Latin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a manifestation of the government of we the people saying, you know, you can trust us with the kids. And it's outward manifestation of responsibility. But
so how can senators not take responsibility? Don't when they do their oath?
But wait. I think you're setting up the query wrong, Cassie. And I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. You're setting up the query improperly, because the question isn't how can senators, it's how can right wing fundamentalist senators and then the rest of your question, because this isn't a senator problem, this is a right wing problem. This is psychosocial stuff. I know how hard it is to sort of get your mind around the idea that people behave this way, but they really, really do. If you are an evil, if you are
who behave that way, everybody considers them a jerk.
That's because they don't have, that's because they don't have the power. And therefore, they're deemed jerks. Okay?
They're deemed something else, but I wasn't.
Right. And it has to do with the southbound end of a northbound horse. But what I'm getting at is you're a jerk when you don't have power and you behave that way. When you have vast amounts of power and you behave that way, people have to eat it and smile. And then you associate yourself with other jerks who will reinforce your jerkness and tell you that you're doing it because you're doing the Lord's will. And I know that's disheartening to contemplate, but it is true. I strongly suggest that you find that interview with Rachel Maddow at MSNBC with the guy who wrote the book The Family. If you can get your library to order you a copy, since we're still reading during the summer months, get the library to find you a copy of The Family and read it and see, because this is a really creepy, shadowy group whose theology is based on something called a new revelation that happened to some religious huckster in 1935. And it has had from then to now, 74 years, to take root inside the government of we the people.
How many people in, how many of the Congress and the Senate are in this?
I don't know that number, and I don't know if anybody knows that number. Because they keep themselves on the down low deliberately.
Is it true that Hillary Clinton went to some of their stuff?
Don't know. But I don't think anyone will ever accuse her of being a right-wing evangelical Christian. I mean, you can't get the right wing to acknowledge that she's human. So, yeah. But you know, it's worth studying up on, and then you know you'll have to go out and you'll have to read up on John Calvin, and you'll have to read up on election, and you'll have to read up on predestination. And once you've done that and you've processed it all the way through your skull, Cassie, you will have a somewhat discouraging, but largely a realistic picture of why the right wing, at least in Republican circles inside the federal government, why the right wing behaves as it does.
Yeah. Well, they're tearing apart government, and I think that they're tearing apart also the way that people think about religion. Because I think that there are lots of ways of looking at God and not having all of the predestination and...
Well, sure there are. And most tolerable Christianity that has developed has wholly rejected the notions of election and predestination. The other thing that you have to bear in mind, though, Cassie, is that they are destroying government, but they're not doing it negligently, okay? They are doing it intentionally. They mean to destroy government, okay? When you look at this family, and then you go and look at Christian Reconstructionism, for instance, it is the stated goal of Christian Reconstructionists who have wormed their way into, among other things, the Southern Baptist Convention. It's the stated goal of Christian Reconstructionists to overturn the government of the United States and replace our government with Old Testament theocracy. They want the United States to be transformed into a phony Christian version of Iran. They really, really do.
Arrest them for treason.
Well, because they call it their religion. And we all know that the First Amendment is nothing more than a life support system for the religion industry now.
Well, because it's not doing anything for the newspapers.
Well, the newspapers' problems are not First Amendment related. The newspapers' problems are greed related, and it's sort of a natural. It's what you're seeing with newspapers now is the natural outgrowth of policies and procedures and decisions that were made 20 and 30 years ago.
Well, that sounds like a completely different topic.
And it is. But yeah, the First Amendment has been reduced to a shell of itself, and the only thing it is a refuge for thieves, crooks, scoundrels, and liars who try to justify their thieving, crooking, scoundreling, and lying by saying, but it's my right to. How many times have you heard, for instance, Cassie, how many times have you heard a right-winger say that passing the hate crimes legislation will be a violation of their First Amendment rights? They actually believe that they have a First Amendment right to hate people and to do them harm based upon their hate.
They believe they have a First Amendment right to hurt people because they hate them.
Yeah.
Hey, you have a right to hate people. You just don't have a right to incite violence to them, toward them.
Right. Stunning, isn't it? Cassie, have yourself a good weekend, my dear. And
I'm working the whole weekend.
Are you really? Okay. Well, but we'll see if you can get the public library to go find you a copy of that book. It'll be a mind bender.
Okay. And if I look at Rachel Maddow's site, it will tell me the name of the author. There's probably a lot of
The author of the book is being interviewed in that particular instance.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. I tell you what, I've got it. I've got a link to it here, and
I'll find it.
No, I've already got it. I'll let's see, copy, and I'll shoot you an email with it post haste.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Take care, Cassie. Bye now. That's Cassie, one of our youngest listeners and author of the political Teen Tidbits blog. You can find that at Freckles Cassie, FreckleCassie .wordpress.com. Okie dokie. And let's keep things rolling. Nope. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey. I didn't think you would answer so soon. I'm like in the kitchen trying to do noodles. What do I sound like?
Oh, God. Well, I
want to keep it al dente.
Well, if it sticks to the wall, it's good to go.
Listen, so I was just wondering, did you, there's another economic story. Did you hear about what's going on with Goldman Sachs? I don't mean the Matt, I don't know.
The Matt Taibbi, but you mean the bonuses?
No, not that, no. It's the,
Oh, that's AIG. Sorry.
Yeah, this is some sort of, they're freaking out because some ex-employee, they had arrested because they said he had access to some sort of black box algorithm trading program, right? And the gist of it is that they're worried that he's going to, it's a program that could cause market manipulation. And it's like, what's hanging in the air? It's like, well, what have you been doing with this bit of software, Goldman Sachs?
You know, I saw a reference to that. The first thing I thought of was the story that Brad Friedman broke years ago of Clint Curtis. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but Clint was hired to write software that would allow vote flipping inside voting machines.
Yeah, well, no.
So they're concerned about this guy making off with a computer program that they had in the first place, and yeah, what were they doing with it?
Right, not only that, but what's even more, I mean, besides that being disturbing, what's interesting is how, what do they have, a red hotline to the government? Because they called to have the some attorney general or U.S. attorney, and within 24 hours, they had arrested this culprit. Now, if you or I get ripped off by some big bank, who do we call?
That would be nobody.
Right. It's just sort of fascinating.
Because that's what's supposed to happen. We're the suckers. We're the meat.
Right. It's just so over the top on that respect. But more disturbing is, I mean, Goldman Sachs. They're sort of, you know, no one even paying attention to any of this if the economy was in as it is and the causes. But all their stuff is being, I don't know, put on display, and they're panicking. It's interesting to watch, but it's more disturbing how many people in this archway that we have go back and forth between Goldman Sachs and the Treasury and the other government departments.
Archway? I think it is an arch. It's not even a revolving door, is it?
No, not anymore. It used to be called the Iron Triangle, you know, where people in commercial interests would go back and forth. But it's not. Titanium, I think, at this point.
I know.
No, not anyway.
No, I just heard me in the background.
I know. I have to go solve my dinner. But I solved it. Anyway, also, I was listening to that idiot about the health care. I mean, where are we?
Well, the problem, which idiot? You talking about Paul Brown or...
Well, whoever was saying that people are going to die.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, Brown.
I mean, are they kidding?
No, that's where they are. That's all they've got. You know, all they have is fear and terror. And they're counting on the ignorance and what else? The vocabulary is failing me tonight. Apathy. They're counting on the ignorance and the apathy of the American people to just look and go, well, he done said it's going to kill people. We can't have that.
Well, I just got an email from, like, I'm on the New York Times, whatever, and, you know, they're saying that the Democrats are trying to pass some sort of tax on the rich.
Yeah.
Pay for this.
Yeah, over 200,000?
Yeah, over 280,000.
Yeah, 280,
actually,
right.
And up. And couples earning more than $350,000. Now, I mean, are they trying to kill any chance of this?
I think some are.
Because I understand, you know, but you just can't jump up and say we're going to tax the rich in this country because there's so many dumbasses who aren't rich take offense to that, right?
Yes.
And so it's interesting that they're going that route because you know that it's going to be held up. If the House passes it, then the cretins in the Senate will come up with an excuse to crash it. So I'm just wondering, is this by design? As opposed to just doing, shall I say it, just a single payer? I mean, isn't single payer just pooling all the resources?
Yeah, it is. And it's if we ever got any honest numbers on it, we would find out that it is manifestly less expensive than anything being considered at this point in time. So we're having this big dog and pony show to avoid talking about the one solution that would really work. And secondly, that's why I wondered the other night, Sandra, about this change in names. How is it that the phrase public option has gotten such traction? What is the difference between public? Because I first started hearing public option, probably long around the last week, middle of May, around in there, and ever since then, the single payer. You get arrested trying to go to hearings talking about single payer.
Well, the thing is, I look at the public option as, you know, the Trojan horse, and in a good way, because however you need to get something that's pooling people's resources on the government in to provide, to not provide, but pay for health care, I don't really care what they call it. Because I understand that the single payer, they've demonized that so much. But now they're doing this incremental crap, which Obama seems to be wedded to, and it's just going to be a mess that they're going to present.
Right, and if there is a public option that is government-run, this is the thing that disturbs me most, is that I'm convinced that if that even happens, that it will be done in such a way as to make sure that it will be fiscally it'll be fiscally untenable, because the only people who will be in it will be the people who have been rejected by for-profit insurance.
Well, no, that's the thing. I mean, it has to be set up in a way to allow anyone and everyone to buy into it. Maybe you have to pay a certain amount per month initially. However, the base way of starting that. I don't really know the history of Medicare, but however that was initiated, it would be the same thing, just a wider net. But you would have to eliminate the private insurance and leave that for the people who don't want government in their health care. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and see that...
Let them dumbasses find out what... You know what I mean? I just think it would eventually die out, because anyone with any sense would drift back to the public option, because it's cheaper. I mean, that's the idea, right?
Sure. And you know, you were horrified by what Paul Brown said out of Georgia. I got another one for you. Yesterday, Roy Blunt, and you know, he's a big, you know, he's a whip or something, you know, one of those terms for the Republican minority in the House. He went on a radio show in St. Louis and explained that government got into this is a quote, government did get into the health care business in a big way in 1965 with Medicare and later with Medicaid, and government already distorts the marketplace. He went on and he said, government should never have gotten in the health care business. In other words, Medicare and Medicaid were mistakes.
Well, yeah, but that's a joke, because as far as I know, anyone who has that is perfectly happy with it. What they're unhappy about is the constant attack by the privateers who are constantly trying to make it not work right, you know, like the Plan D and all these other sort of horrific
right
attacks on it.
And those are Trojan horses in their own right, Sandra, and that's how the right wing has tried to kill Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, see, once again, we're having the government bump up against the will of the people, because this time around, this is not 1993 or 92, whenever Hillary Clinton was happening. This time, we've had a whole generation of people being fucked over in bankruptcy, seeing it with their own eyes. You see, that's why you keep getting these poll numbers of 70 and more want the public option, because the American, you know, people are like, hello, finally. You know, so I'm just scared that we're looking at unresponsive government and we're just going to be screwed over. You see what I mean? Because I think people are well ahead of what these fools are talking about.
I think the American people are way out ahead of it. And the question is, what are the American people going to do if we get handed some bill of goods?
Well, this is the thing. I heard someone say this, that this healthcare thing needs to take on the aura of the civil rights movement, which seems common sense to you and I. But, you know, it's a novel approach for people to deal with economic issues like this. It's a long time coming. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It really is a long time coming, rallying around economic slash human right issue. But this could be the one. But, you know, I'd be goddamn if we don't have any leadership on this, you know?
Well, you know, there is leadership, but the leadership, you know, the leadership is being kept as far away from the fight as possible. Do you have any doubt that Dennis Kucinich could lay this out plain and simple for the American people?
Oh, hell yeah. Him.
Well, guess who ain't allowed being out to be out there out front on this?
Yeah, of course he's not. I'm sure he's being told by the Obama White House and whatever freak is trying to keep the corporate. I mean, all of it, is just, it makes me sick.
And the thing is, I think it's going to make you sicker, Sandra. Because we're a long way from anything that you and I would consider to be tolerable in this process. You know, and I don't like the manipulative aspect, and that's all I can say that it is, because you can't tell me that the likes of David Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel and Barack Obama are so tone deaf as to just screw up and say things one day and then the next day have to retract it. Rahm Emanuel's business with that triggered BS was just sickening. And then to come out the next day and go, no, I'm not for a trigger. We're still for a public option. You know, at this point, I know I'm just being manipulated.
No, you mean when Obama came out and trying to reassert that they want a public option? That whole song and dance?
Well, not just that. No, it was this thing a couple of days ago where Rahm Emanuel said, you know, well, you know what we think would really work best would be a trigger, the trigger option, where if the for-profit insurance companies don't do A, B, C, D, E, then that triggers the creation of a public plan. And a bunch of people in Congress got their backs up real hard and said, oh, hell no, there's not. No triggers.
Well, the thing is that I get the impression that there's like a pretty hardcore group of Congress people where the Democrats have to have them in order to get any health care passed. And I'm under the impression that they said no public option, we're not supporting anything.
Yeah, but the point is, if it was a matter of I don't know, pick any analogy you'd like to make where it's just an abjectly good thing. As long as Barack Obama is behind it, the Republicans will oppose it. So sitting there and saying, you know, we're going to do anything to make it palatable to the Republicans is just silly.
Well, no, but it's unbelievable. I don't really get it, because let's be honest, if the Democrats pass some sort of public option, it would fill their power base for years.
Yeah, it would
be embraced. I mean, I just don't really understand the mentality, except for the fact that it's corporatist. You know, it's straight up. The Congress is just owned by the corporations, and that's just the end of that. I mean, I don't really know, because it seems like it's a win-win for politically and for the American people.
But the only place where you lose is in your wallet. And that Upton Sinclair quote that I mentioned last night comes bubbling to the top again tonight, and it applies not just to a working stiff, but to members of Congress as well. And that is, you know, it is damnably difficult to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
Okay. Yeah. No. I mean that's a great quote. Although a bit depressing, but I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, we have to make this huge leap that knocks out huge amounts of campaign money, on and on and on, to get rid of this predatory sector, which is, I guess, what is it? A sixth of our economy is healthcare. So I know this is ginormous, as Simone tells me every day, but, you know, it's just, I'm starting to think that it'd be better if they don't do anything than what is looking like coming down the pipe. You know, I'm back to my forced to buy this sort of private health care scheme.
If it's private and there's a mandatory aspect to it, I would hope that there would be a civil disobedience movement, frankly.
And yeah, because this is tyranny. You know, I hate to go there, but you know, I'm not going to be forced to buy. You know, I'm not going to be forced to buy anything from a corporation like that. You see what I mean? This is
yes, I do. Good. And let's be very, very clear, Sandra. If it is if it is publicly funded and government run, and they say, well, you know, you got to pay 10, 15, whatever, $25 a month, or you know, whatever. There's some aspect of payment in it. I can swallow that. I can deal with that.
Initially, I mean, this is what I'm expecting. You know what I'm saying? It's like they can even means test it as far as this from scratch BS that he keeps saying we can't do. Yeah, they can. He can means test it. They can do whatever. And certain people can pay what they want, or they can stick with Aetna if they want to. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But there'll be enough people. This is the thing. There's millions of people. I think it's an estimate. It's like 120 million who are underinsured and no insurance. You see what I'm saying? Like a huge part of the population is wanting. So
right, but that's okay because the right wing just with the snap of a finger declares that they don't exist.
Oh, and they won't. Yeah, they would prefer them not to exist, I guess. But you know, the insurance companies are like shaking at the thought because they can't compete. You have senators saying, "Oh no, we don't want. It wouldn't be fair. Fair. The nerve of that word to come out of their mouths. Fair.
Fair to who?
What the hell?
I don't owe any debt of fairness." To a profit-driven industry that has destroyed the ability of families to survive in this country.
Well, no, it's just, and it's stunning when you know the whole some of the ideas like this whole taxing of existing benefits is just absurd. And Walmart, oh yeah, that's a good idea. You know, like, all of it is so disgusting because it's all to our detriment. You know.
Right, but if you're one of the Sam Walton heirs, whatever you're going to be taxed at for the health care that you have is going to be minimal, because you know the first and foremost is to remember that this taxation of benefits scam is the most hateful of regressive taxation.
Not only that, but it knocks out even more small businesses in their effort to provide health care for the employees because they won't be able to do it. Thus, more conglomerates are created. I mean, it's just on and on. That's why I'm sort of scared of the whole corporatist bent of what they're starting to come out with. Because this incremental stuff, now's the time to just wipe it all out. What better time is there?
There will never be one.
I mean, because they're weak. Even with all the money they're spending, which I hear is like over, a million plus per day to lobby. They're still kind of weak because the people see that it's not really working for them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and this is one of those turning points in history, Sandra. This is one of those if not now, when, if not us, who?
Right. But I just, like I said, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that if I think these people are underestimating again, I think if Obama whiffs on this, his presidency is in trouble. And likewise, if they come out with something, you know, he can damn near incarcerate everybody he wants. People won't even pay attention if they can get some health care. I mean, that's how, important this issue is to people. I think that all would be forgiven with Obama if he comes up with something that can provide this right.
There's a lot of stuff that the rank and file Democrats will tolerate if he'll just get this one right.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure I'll still be bitching. But if I can just see something like this come down, because the benefits are so great. It almost brings tears to my eyes when I think about what people would be able to do if you didn't have to wake up worrying about this bullshit every day. You know?
Yeah. But you're right. The people's patience is going to give out.
oh, yeah, this is too much. I don't, you know, it's too
and we've
much.
Got to, well, we've got to have something to believe in. We've got to have something to hang our hat on. We've got to have a win because it seems like every group that busted its ass to put Obama into office has been shown the door.
Yeah, no.
You know, whether it's gay people or people of color or environmentalists or labor, you know, we've all been, you know, hey, wait, we'll get to you.
Right, you know. And in the meanwhile, I still got to hear Negroes calling talk shows trying to pump this fool. Sorry, I just got a few of them today. I'm like, dude, wake up. I don't know. I, you know, like I said, I'm just sort of.
And the right wing spends the day on a single frame of a video. I know.
Oh, why? What's this?
That was the top of the program. Yeah. The right wing's all been in a tizzy for 2 days now because they think that Barack looked at a 17-year-old girl's butt.
Well, so what? Ain't he a man?
You know, that's kind of the argument Cassie just made. All guys do it.
Well, no.
But the thing is, he didn't do it.
Well, probably he didn't do it, but I'm just sort of like, you know, these people, with their paying off of women and going to Argentina, really last one to be talking about whether or not he's checking out some ass. What the hell?
Hiking the Appalachian Trail.
No, I mean, that's a good one. I mean, I don't really know, but, you know, don't get them even started on anything to do with sexuality and black folks. Lord. It won't stop, so he better try to wear some blinders, sunglasses, something.
Well, the thing is, there was nothing he could have done to avoid this. they were gonna do it one way or the other, because again, it has to do with inherent bigotries and prejudices and preconceptions about, well, you know how they are.
Right? No, I'm just saying it's just sort of like. I mean, there's already an issue on that front because that couple looks like they actually do it, and people don't want to be dealing with it.
Oh no, so. But see, I've got a clip that I started on and didn't finish this evening, Sandra of that loathsome creature Tammy Bruce, talking about how well now we understand why Michelle has self-respect issues. Really? This woman seems to exude self-confidence as far as I'm concerned.
Is this the same person who just tapped the queen? Hey, what's up? I don't think this woman is lacking confidence.
No. You know, they had that papal visit today, and she was standing there just, you know, and the nerve, this is just a sidelight. You know, we talk, oh, yeah, well, you know, the Muslims make their women wear burqas. Well, all the women meeting the Pope had to be dressed head to toe in black with a lace, I don't know, a lace, the kerchief over their heads that practically hid their faces.
Right. Well, I know. I saw the outfit she had on, and I was, like, laughing. I thought, oh, what's happening? I didn't realize.
Yeah, that ain't getting wore twice.
No, I thought to myself, good Lord, you know. But they're giving a hard time about that?
No, not yet, but that was Tammy Bruce saying, I mean, all I was saying is, you know, she didn't seem to be having any self-confidence issues there, because I got a feeling that stupid little kerchief came off the minute she was out of eyeball range of Benny.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's part of the being, you know, the first lady, I guess. No, they're just so wrecked, and they can't cope with Michelle anyway. It's too much for them, right? They, you know, they, she, that's what I mean, I don't know. I always feel a bit for Michelle because she's just like, I'm like, man, that's a real sister. And look where she at. No, you know it's full on.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not half nothing. You know what I mean? Like I said, her mama is black and her daddy's black. And it's like, hello, good morning.
And mama's living at the White House.
Exactly. But no, I'm just being a bit, I'm being a bit sarcastic, but I don't, you know, I didn't know that about the looking at the.
Oh, you don't have to look far. You'll find it. Media Matters has it. Go forth and look and scream. It's going to make your weekend, Sandra, I promise.
That's great. Oh, you know what I want? Also, I want,
you know, Hannity with this sense of shock saying, well, I mean, we've just got to say, he looked at her butt.
Was that closet number, Hannity?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, you. He better keep his stuff quiet. I've heard about that guy.
The life support system for a haircut.
Oh God, he's awful. But no, if you go, you know the website where that Chris Hedges write? Is it Truth Dig?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should go there because there's an interesting little short movie. Have you heard about this?
No.
Like the second, it's called The Second American Revolution. It's just a 25-minute piece looking at, you know, my favorite, Alex Jones and these other patriot freaks, that whole movement.
Yes.
And it's just really interesting. I would suggest this.
Oh, it's about them?
Yes, yeah, about them. It's,
oh, I'm definitely cracking a beer for this one.
Yeah, 25 minutes, and you'll see it says, it says the American, you know, I'll just send you the link.
Do please.
Because I think you really find it interesting because it's just yikes. So, yeah, I'll just leave you with that, but I'll send that to you now before I forget.
Okay,
so,
great.
Have a good evening.
Sandra, you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. That's our buddy Sandra, and rolling along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is it me?
It's you, boss.
Hey. First of all, is it Sandra or Cassandra?
Well, there's a Cassandra. That's who you heard before Sandra. That's Cassie. And then that was Sandra you just heard.
Okay, well, Sandra, I want to get your name right because this is an official proposal. If you're not married, I am proposing to you now.
What a we've got our first on-air proposal. It took less than 4 years.
And I mean, who's that scientist that matches everybody up? I mean,
I'm Neil Clark Warren. Yes.
Right. But it's almost like she was at lunch with us today.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of some of the stuff we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as the health thing goes, I mean, and we talked about it today, here's the option. Public. Period. There is no other option. The only way to fix this is, number one, to take the profit out of health care, to take away the evil bastards that figure out how to make a profit on your unfortunate situation. I'm sorry. Now, if we do the totally public option, the hell with the healthcare industry and the insurance industry and all these people that make profit off of it, there'll be a black market for the rich bastards to participate in.
Sure.
Won't there be? And, like you say tonight, or at lunches, tell you what, take away the House and the Senate's health care until we get the same thing they do.
And, that sounds mean-spirited, and I knew it sounded mean-spirited when I said it. But
that's not mean-spirited. Who the hell do you think you are because I elected you? You should be...
Yeah, if you can't afford it for the American people, we can't afford it for you.
For you. What the hell's wrong? Isn't that fair? And, and the whole problem is, all these people and way too many Democrats are owned by these people. These people that make profit out of the American people's misfortune. I mean, what the hell is that? Isn't that a crook?
Last I checked, yes.
Isn't Bernie Madoff a crook? I'm really upset. I'm pissed off. I think that's a better word than upset. Well, and I have to add this, too. I'm pissed off at Barack Obama, but finding out that he's an ass man does raise him quite a few points.
But if only it was true, yeah.
Well, I hope it's true. That's always, I've been one of those all my life. Better than breath.
I am so keeping my mouth shut here. You just keep talking, okay? Because I stay out of trouble.
I don't know. I hope I didn't get you in trouble, I guess if I say it, it's no trouble. If you agree with me, you're probably in trouble. Is that how it works?
The smart host at this point remains silent and allows the caller to continue speaking.
Okay, well, listen. I called a few weeks ago about my buddy Gary St. Louis.
Yeah.
He died yesterday.
Oh, damn.
And...
And he died for want of decent health care, right?
Huh? Exactly. Now, well, decent health care, and that our government that, you know, we pay taxes to and we vote for and all that, refused 40 years ago to acknowledge that Agent Orange was dangerous, that anybody was exposed to it should be, you know, monitored, taken care of for the rest of their goddamn life, because they went out there and fought for this country.
I know. It's intolerable. And didn't you tell me he was waiting for a transplant? Yeah.
He wasn't eligible because he kept getting infections.
Jesus.
You know, that was caused by the same shit. And, you know, if they didn't acknowledge 40 years ago that that's what's a problem.
Well, you know, Robert McNamara passed away a few days ago, too.
Yeah.
And if there's any justice, Gary St. Louis is chasing his ass down somewhere.
Well, you know, I got to say that didn't upset me.
No.
The son of a bitch.
But, God.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize, because this is Wayne, this is reality. This is the reality that those silk-suited sons of bitches in Congress are not taking into account.
And, you know, at the same time, I'm so pissed off at Barack. I mean, you know, well, you and Sandra were talking about it, you know. If this isn't the time, when the hell is it? And that's what we voted for you for. And, you know, I mean, a whole nine yards, don't ask, don't tell. Give me a goddamn break.
Yeah, but it turns out... And
all that is a damn, you know, write a sentence and say this is... What's that, you know, executive order.
Yeah.
Period. End the goddamn thing. You know, if the Congress and the Senate vote against that, veto the son of a bitch. Get some, you know... It's time Barack got emboldened. And, you know, I told you a long time ago, that's an old Serbian word to give balls.
Yeah.
Get some balls. You know, you said in the first few days that you weren't worried or you weren't here to get reelected. You were here to do something. Well, goddamn it, do something.
And if you do, maybe you will get reelected.
Exactly.
But if he keeps
and
playing this footsie
right now, I mean, you know, it's time for you to stand up, brother. It's time for you to stand up. And, you know, a nuclear option, whatever, you know. I think we could browbeat 51 of these damn 60 Democrats to, well, maybe not even 51. Probably we'd have to browbeat three or four Republicans, but I think we could do that, to vote for this, you know, health care. We need that. I mean, you want to fix the economy? You want to, you know, my employer pays $5.75 an hour, or any employer that employs carpenters, the people that I represent, $5.75 an hour for their health care, for them and their family. And we get a, you know, that's a pretty good price. If you go out and price that, that's a pretty good price.
Yeah, it is.
And how do we get that price? We get that price because we have thousands of members. We create a pool that we have some pool. Well, what kind of damn pool do you think if your pool created of, I don't know, what the hell's our population? 320, 350 million people? How would it be then? You know, what if, you know, you could say to a family of five, send us $25 a month, you are covered. Dental, I don't care what. You got pre-existing conditions, that don't matter. You're still covered. what are we going to do with these people? I mean, you know, I'm an old man, and, you know, I guess I'm getting, I don't know. You know, the old saying is, you know, people are young when they're Democrats, and when they're old, they turn Republican. Well, I'm not turning Republican. I'm a Democrat, but I'm starting to turn radical. I mean, what are the American people to do? Do we have to take up arms again? You know, how do we get rid of these son of a bitches? They're all bought by these corporations.
Well, you know,
these
I have said it.
Back in.
I've said it time and time again, Wayne. Well, for instance, the last time I was in Washington, when I was there for the subcommittee hearing on mountaintop removal in the Senate 696 Appalachian Restoration Act, there were a bunch of people in D.C. at the same time for health care. And I saw some West Virginia friends who were going up to a town hall meeting with Senator Rockefeller. But the thing that they understand there is that if a million people show up tomorrow in Washington, D.C., they're leaving later that day. And then things will get back to normal, and they can go back to, you know, I don't know, flying to Argentina. Or
bullshit. And...
Yeah, exactly. So what has to happen, do we take up arms? I would prefer not to. But
as would I.
But having 10 million unarmed Americans making a circle around
setting up a goddamn camp on
and
wherever,
you know,
the hell we were for, I forget. Where.
Yeah, out on the mall, sure.
Out on the mall.
And saying, look, we'll leave when you pass single payer health care.
Right.
Because that's at
and
this point in time.
You have the same exact insurance or health insurance as we do, the exact same. And you don't get to go to the black market, you son of a bitch.
Well, that Kucinich clip that I played earlier is so brilliant because he nailed
it.
I'll send you the link because it's not to be missed. When he sat there and ate that little for-profit punk's lunch. And
I gotta see that.
Yeah, this was a little guy, Dr. David Pratzer, I think, who came to tell the Congress how god awful the Canadian system is, and there's rationing, and people are having to wait for medical care. They're having to wait for, you know, they're having to wait for face peels and breast augmentation. You know, when you're code blue in the emergency room, they take you first. There's no waiting for that kind of stuff.
No, there isn't.
The desperation, and then the other analogy that I drew, Wayne, is the fact that it's the same thing, whatever the issue. Fear, 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 fear. And, fear and violence, it's all they have. You know, you've got this creep on the floor of the House today declaring that if we have a public option, people are going to die. On the one hand, it's laughable, but on the other, you want to shake him.
Well, what's upsetting about that is that the people go, oh, my God, we're going to die.
Nobody told them that?
Well, I don't want that. You know, I got news for you. We could have the best health care in the entire world. You're going to die. You are going to die. Yeah, you know, all I want is the same shake as these assholes have to prolong that as long as I can.
Yeah, meaningfully and with a little dignity.
I'm not afraid of it. I know it's inevitable and I don't worry about it. But by God, if I'm sick, I want to be taken care of.
Yeah, you don't want to die of something that shouldn't kill you.
I don't want to die because I couldn't get the test. Or I couldn't afford the medicine. I don't want to die because of that. That's bullshit.
And yet these right wing nuts go on television and they say, you know, there's not really any uninsured people in this country.
You know what? The right wing nuts don't upset me as the asshole Democrats. Yeah, I mean the right wing nuts, there ain't no hope for. You know. And at least they didn't lie about what they are. You know, You tell me, you know, that some of these people, these Democrats that come in and back these, those are Democrats? That ain't what a goddamn Democrat means to me. A Democrat's a working guy.
Well, have, just out of curiosity, we share the same congressman. Do we know where Nick stands on the single payer and public option?
I don't believe he's for it. Now, I'll have to look, but I don't think he's for it.
I need a win once in a while, Wayne. I don't have to bat 900, but I would like to bat 285.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it? You know. And you know, where's Rockefeller?
Actually Rockefeller is halfway close to getting it right.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, I don't think he would hesitate to vote for straight up single payer. Now, that's out of character for him, but...
And, you know, I'm not even going to ask you about Byrd because...
Well, asking what Byrd's position is a matter of asking what Byrd's staff's position is right now.
That's exactly right, and, you know, I'm very anxious for his staff to stop playing weekend at Bernie's. You know.
Are you that ready for Senator Manchin?
Well, at least he could walk and talk. Do you know what I mean?
But dig this, okay? Because this is actually salient, and I'm glad we kind of went into it. Senator Byrd went into the hospital with a little infection, 94-year-old pneumonia. It happens.
Yeah, and, you know, where's the worst place to go for when you have an infection?
Yeah, the hospital. And that's what happened. He picked up MRSA. Okay, that's that bug that does not respond to medication.
Staph, first of all.
Yeah, it's
isn't it a staph infection?
I believe it is.
Okay.
Methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, I think is what it stands for.
You could say that.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. Somebody has to.
Yeah, I guess so.
So he's in the hospital, and now he's home, and apparently they have cured incurable MRSA in him. Because he has the best socialized medicine that the American people can offer.
Ain't it a shame that the American people don't have the same?
Now, how many people in this country, because it's a real plague, how many people in this country this year have died from MRSA who weren't 94, who were hale and reasonably healthy? That's
well,
a number I don't have, but...
You know, I believe in the end that's what my wife died. I don't know if it was MRSA, but she died from an infection that she got while she was in the hospital trying to be cured for...
Same thing happened to my mom.
Exactly.
And you know, the question is, how is it that a senator with the best socialized medicine that America can offer survives it, but working people...
At 90 years old...
Yeah.
You're right.
But working people drop dead from it.
Right. Right.
And that is not a negative reflection on Senator Byrd. I hope he gets better because I am not ready for Senator Manchin. I'm just really appalled at the idea of Senator Manchin.
It's inevitable, Bobby. You know, I mean, it's like dying.
No. As long as Gaston Caperton is out there, there's hope.
You think that would be better?
Than Joe Manchin?
Yeah.
Any day of the week.
I
mean, I'm not barking at you or anything, but
No. I mean, you know, I have this personal thing with Gaston Caperton when he tried to kill the building trades union.
Well, there is that, and he did that.
Huh?
He did that.
Well, he did a pretty good hit on us, I'll tell you that.
And he did some pretty sleazy environmental things.
Yeah.
But you know he didn't kill workers' compensation.
And I don't admire that at all.
But he didn't kill workers' compensation and turn it into a for-profit nightmare.
But that would be Bob Wise, wouldn't it?
No, that was Joe Manchin.
Was it Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, because he was going to fix it.
Yeah.
So
his little entity Brick Street's in trouble. I mean, you know, when they were the only game in town, they did great. But now I think there's somewhere near 150 different providers for workers' comp.
Oh, you mean that? Do you mean that taking a public option and turning it private has proven to be a business mistake?
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
I don't know quite how to answer that.
Well, yeah, because it was publicly funded, and West Virginia's workers' compensation was hale and healthy until Arch Moore got hold of it and started using it as his personal gumball machine.
And let all the coal companies cheat.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Create new companies that didn't pay workers' comp for 9 or 10 months, and then when they got caught, they created a new company.
Yeah. That's what's called a shell game with shell companies. Exactly.
Yes, yes it is.
But you know, I think we've got a valid inquiry on our hand. Why can't America get as good a care when they get sick as Senator Byrd gets when he does?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And that, you know, that's not real hard to understand either. Is it?
No, it's not. I smell a letter to the editor happening in my head.
Yeah, well, write it, brother.
Yeah, I think I will.
Not mine. They don't like mine.
All right, man. Have yourself a good weekend.
Well, listen, man, it was enjoyable seeing you and your lovely wife today, and,
it's always fun getting to get together with you, man.
All right.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
That's listening, too. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's the boss. That's Wayne. And we got a few minutes left in the program. Hey, welcome to the program.
Am I on?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, hi, Bob. Duncan from the West Coast.
Yeah, Duncan, how are you?
You got me fired up about health care.
Well, good. Now you got to go get somebody else fired up.
Well, I did my best last night at the union meeting.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Let me give you a little background information here.
Okay.
Back in 2001, we were paying $2.50 an hour for health and welfare.
Yeah, kind of like what Wayne was talking about, what they pay in the carpenters.
Yeah. We're paying $7.53 an hour now.
Wow.
Come December, we got a new contract a couple of years ago. Come December, we get like $1.25 increase on our pay, supposedly to go on our paycheck. But if you know how collective bargaining agreements work, the membership votes on where to put the money. We have to put the whole thing in health and welfare.
Wow.
So, and then at the meeting last night, our union rep read off, because I belong to the Sacramento local of the IBEW, read off some of the hourly contributions for the other locals in the area, San Francisco, San Mateo, San Jose, L.A., all that. You know, and we're still relatively low, but some of them were up like $10 an hour. But we, you know, we're a group thing, so we have a trust, which is made up of labor and management, that goes out and shops the whole group, and then you get people bidding on the group. Well, in Sacramento area, they can get Kaiser. Up here in Northern California, where I live, in the Redding area, further north, we can only get one thing, HealthNet. It's the only one that bid on our group. So it costs us like $1,300 a month.
Wow. And so the free, you're really not taking able to take advantage of that whole free market miracle, are you, Duncan?
No, there's no free market miracle out here. It's like, I don't know what you call it. It's like insurance companies, they divide up the map, and wherever that there's a whole bunch of sick people or low wage earners or whatever. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how they do it, but they won't come in and bid on group policies if you're in this certain area. You know, there's only like, what, 10, 13 major insurance companies left now? Maybe you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, you think Cigna, and then, well, Kaiser Permanente, you know, so Kaiser didn't bid on it?
Well, Kaiser isn't in our area.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Where I live, they're in Sacramento, but I live 158 miles north of Sacramento. So I live in this kind of dark zone where there's a bunch of people that don't have health insurance. So they won't touch groups too much. So we get Health Net. You know where Health Net is? It's out of Tennessee or somewhere, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with but I've heard the name, but I don't know exactly. So when you went to the meeting, I mean, did you get people worked up?
Oh yeah, I got the guys worked up. I said, we got to get this public option going. You know, I've been following it. I've been following it on the Ed Show. You know, he was for single payer, but if we can't get single payer, we get a public option because you know what it means. He's all in the union people and everything. I mean,
I've heard him talk some. You know, not being mean or anything. I'm personally a little bit suspicious of Ed Schultz.
Well, whatever, you know.
Yeah, he's getting it right where healthcare is concerned. And what we've all been taught to do, Duncan, is, you know, we'll tolerate. You know, we're talking about a public option now. Because absolutely no one would talk about the real cure, and that's, you know, straight out single payer. For whatever reason, they choose not to talk about it. You know, oh, you know, they're going to call us commies, or oh, that phrase is toxic, yada yada yada. So that's what we're taught, and it's a language thing that I was mentioning earlier. I don't know where it became. I don't know where that decision was made that we were going to start talking about public option instead of universal single payer or anything along those lines. Medicare for all, you know, that's easy. That doesn't say communism unless Medicare's communism. You want to, you know, you want to tell America's grandmothers and grandfathers that they're communists? Yeah, you know,
I belong to a union, so I'm a socialist to begin with.
Well, right? That's true. Yeah, it's all the wobblies all over again, sure. But, you know, I hope that they're slowly getting the idea that nothing short of a public option is acceptable, but there's a lot of people making those rumbling noises that say, no, we're going to do, you know, you're too dumb to figure out what you need. We'll tell you what's best. And that's not government of the people, by the people, and for the people, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. That's autocracy.
Hey, I sent you an email the other day. I don't know if you got it.
Yeah, I did.
So you know my situation. I have osteoarthritis of the knee.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a knee replacement someday. And I've been doing these injections for, a year and a half now. Orthovisc injections to keep my knee lubricated. It's like putting a Zerk fitting on your knee and getting grease gun deal in there, because once your knee wears out and you get bone on bone, it's very painful.
Actually, I know a little bit about that because I was born without cartilage under my kneecaps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And just periodically, every now and then, one of them will lock up and just say, yeah, don't move. Don't move it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. Because if you do try to move it, it feels like somebody's putting a soldering iron through your leg.
Well, it's... Thankfully, in my Air Force career, I had two knee surgeries. First one was for a torn cartilage, and then the guy left at Travis Air Force Base, left a piece of the cartilage in there floating around, so I had a lump floating around in my knee for like 2.5 years. Until I was over in Thailand, and I told the doctor when I was going in for my separation physical, I said, I got this lump in here, and he could feel it, and he goes, well, you need to get out of here and get that taken care of then, or you can wait and have the VA do it. And I said, no, I ain't waiting for the VA. Get me out of here. So within 2 days, I was on a freedom bird back to the world, back to Travis, and having a surgery again to get that lump out of my knee. And that's what I'm paying for now. I'm 57 now.
And it's
paying for it.
Yeah, and it's caught up in a big way. Well, I tell you what, I'm pleased as punch to hear, Duncan, that you're lighting them up, and I certainly hope you will continue to do that at the next meeting and the next meeting after that. And frankly, you know, start asking those questions. You know,
I used to be an organizer.
Oh, really?
Back in the middle '90s.
I'll bet you and Wayne could swap some stories.
Yeah, I just got one thing I want to share with you.
All right.
1996, Proposition 226. Grover Norquist was involved in it. You can look it up if you want.
Okay.
But I hate that bastard. He's the one that wants to just destroy this country. I'll let you go then.
All right. You take care, Duncan. Good hearing from you, brother.
Okay.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Also from out in California, our new buddy Duncan. A few minutes left. Let's see if we... Oh. No, you quit. Okay. Well, things happen like that. What a great night you guys turned this into. This has really been a great way to end the week, and I'm so glad that you chose to help me do it in such wonderful fashion. I hope you'll be back with us Monday. I'll have a report, hopefully, on how the premiere of Coal Country went. That goes down tomorrow night. And, you know, do what Duncan's doing. Talk it. Talk it. Talk it. Don't be afraid to talk to your neighbors. If they come back with some wingnut BS, you're used to this program. You know what the answers are. You know how to fight that crap off. It's not doing it the first time is more difficult than the second, and the third is easier still. And by the time you get to 100, it's like riding a bicycle. Raise hell. Have a great weekend, too. Remember the weekend schedule? Coming up over the weekend, new show from Rick Goodner, horn psychotherapist, Rick's Place, as well as Rick Smith from Pennsylvania. An encore presentation of Night Sounds with Billy Shears, and Sunday night, All Foxed Up with John Fox. And the conversation resumes, hopefully. And I say hopefully because I'm hoping that we will have all the phone issues resolved from last week. So that's it. Thank you to Peter Godbold and John Fox. Thank you to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, WhiteRoseSociety.org. He saved an entire format and an entire attempt to get alternative views and alternative information out to the world with White Rose Society going all the way back to 2002. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org, the hardest working, bravest people I know, and you know why I say that. Do please remember that there is a PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com. We need your support in order to keep this little experiment going, because you're the ones who do keep it going in conjunction with our friends at Coal River Mountain Watch. I think you think it's worth it, and I'm so glad to know you do. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Beautiful evening to be hanging out on the front porch in the hills and hollers of almost level West Virginia. It is an exquisite mid-July evening coming on outside the studios here at the Horn Mansion. Beautiful. Those big, high, puffy, white cumulus clouds that rival the mountains themselves and almost look like a mirror of them. They're floating across the mountaintops. The temperature's warm, but not unbearable. If ever there was an evening for Front Porch Friday on the Horn, this day, the 10th of July, 2009, must certainly be it. I hope you will take advantage of it. I hope we will have some wonderful conversations this evening. Because, weekend's on us. And I got to get it out of my system. I don't know about you, but I got to get it out of my system for the next couple of days. Of course, live conversation radio will, crossing our fingers, resume Sunday night with All Foxed Up at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. In the meantime, tomorrow's schedule includes, of course, Rick's Place with Rick Goodner, horn psychotherapist, as well as Rick Smith from Pennsylvania on Saturday and Sunday, and Saturday night also an encore presentation of Night Sounds with Billy Shears. I had a brief email exchange with Billy not too long back, and he tells me he's hoping to get back to producing live shows here in the very near future. He wanted me to let you know that he misses you tremendously and loved having the input that he got with a new show every week. So all of that is coming your way on the weekend schedule. And tomorrow evening, I got to get the weekend rotation cooked up. There's big changes coming in the weekend schedule as well. Not quite time, I think, to completely disclose what those are. I leave John Fox is sort of in charge of all of that, so it's operating on his schedule. But yeah, big changes are coming in the I guess it wouldn't be fair. It's not that big changes are coming. Big additions are coming to the weekend schedule here on the Horn. Now, I was going to say I have to get the weekend rotation taken care of fairly early tomorrow because I think long about 5 o'clock, we traveling Kincaids climb every mountain. No. we're heading down to Charleston for the premiere of Coal Country down at the West Virginia Cultural Center Theater. And just kind of crossing our fingers and hoping, you hope against hope that the thugs of coal will behave themselves, but you know that that's not necessarily going to happen. But we hope. But I have not seen an advance copy, but I know, knowing Mary Lynn Evans's work, that it's going to be a pretty magnificent piece, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. So that's where we're going to be tomorrow evening. We'll be back a little bit later in the evening. We'll probably be back long about, 2nd hour of Billy Shears or so. Yeah. So that's the weekend coming. And, I've come to the conclusion that if we built a time machine and ran it 50 years into the future, at this point, CNN would still be finding a way to have a Michael Jackson story on their website. Jackson took 10 Xanax a night, document says. Okay, well, that's almost news if you think that Michael Jackson's the Michael Jackson business is still news. The pharmaceutical problems would be news. But this one, how did this sneak onto the website of something that considers itself a news organization? And not only that, but third down in the latest news category, psychics see magic in Michael Jackson's life.
You what, Edith, huh?
Yeah, really. But you know what? I'm all done with that. I'm not. It is what it is. We're not going to blather on about it or anything. No. I'm going to be even shallower. You know, it's Front Porch Friday. You know, we kick back and prop our feet up on the porch rail and maybe noodle around on the 8-string misery box or the banjo over there in the corner or pick up the guitar, whatever. Maybe just thump out a rhythm on the bottom of a old nail keg. And we can be kind of frivolous and talk about the kind of things that you talk about in the warmth and heat of a summer's evening in the Appalachians. And I'm going to be frivolous and shallow, and I'm going to jump right in the mud tonight. We talk about very desperately heady, desperately serious things that need talking about. But there's a couple of bits of wing nuttery that are floating around out there today that are just driving me nuts. Have you seen the attempt? Okay, and this is dangerous ground for me because it involves discussing videography and photography on the radio, so you'll have to do what radio does best, and radio makes you use your mind to create your own visuals. Have you seen the photographs out there and the right-wing attempts to turn Barack Obama into a perv? Yeah, they're really, really there. Apparently, you know, at one of these events surrounding the G8 summit in Italy, there was a moment in video footage when it appears by the video, if you are a right-wing nut who is watching said video frame by frame by frame by frame, it looks like the President of the United States, Barack Obama, is checking out the tush of a sweet young thing walking past him. And there has been all manner of just shock, shock. You know how it is with those men. They just do that. They can't help themselves. Let's see, what were some, and you know, it started out, of course, in Freeperville at Free Republic. It's a Reuters photo. It was posted on Free Republic, at approximately 2:45.